So you have these little things that, like, you have receptors in different parts of your body and stuff. In your body, so what they do with these things like Adderall and stuff is that they mimic and they have an affinity for receptors in your body that would do that, that you would do. Because you have things in times of high stress where you would be focused and stuff like that. I don't know what it's called. I haven't studied it to that extent, but some things I know. And like what Adderall does is it binds to those receptors. So like it down-regulates things that basically it disrupts your feedback loop and it lets you kind of break through limitless, basically, you know, for lack of a better term. It lets you kind of break through barriers that your body keeps you out of. So they, what happens is it doesn't eliminate the natural thing that's in there to make you feel like what Adderall does, but it binds stronger to that receptor. So it's almost like a magnet, and it's a stronger magnet. So more of your receptor sites for different things in your body, your pathway, it'll attach to that, and then you get the intended effect. Right. So, when you say you sound hella low. A lot of interesting stuff out there that's not drugs, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, I mean, and I usually like to follow guys that diet, sleep, and exercise on a foundation. Like, I'm 100% behind somebody who will tell you about these things, but then say none of that matters if you don't get these other things in order, because that's just putting a band-aid on it. You know, so, you know, that's why I say I bought the Respawn. I've had it for like a month. I've used it 3 times.
Hey, Miguel, what's going on?
Not because I'm afraid of it. It's just
with that TV,
it's the computer, and I'm only doing half a service.
Full screen it.
Yeah.
On the laptop.
Yeah. Now. Shalom, shalom. Welcome to the Power Hour Plus. I'm Deacon Yahshua.
I'm Officer Shia.
Officer Tobias.
Oh, we back. Officer Shy is back.
That's
I'm
right.
Here. His tummy don't hurt this week.
My tummy.
His tummy hurt.
That's what my dog tells me. My tummy hurt. That's what I tell my wife.
You need Jesus Christ.
Tummy hurt.
His tummy was hurting.
His tummy.
So he wasn't here last week because he went fondueing, but he fondonted.
Yep.
Hey, you want to give a shout out to the Melting Pot? Date night spot?
Shout out to the Melting Pot. It was a heavy pocket afterwards. It was good, bro. I enjoyed every single thing I had. Like, I was like,
the Melting Pot is dope, bro. So wait, so I'm gonna tell you my story with the. I mean,
oh,
I
so
think
you
I've told you
gone.
Before. I've gone. I've told you I've gone. It's not,
oh
you
wait,
know
but
mean?
Not here, right?
Listen, I'm sophisticated. Okay.
You are sophisticated.
Sophisticated.
We are learning.
I'm a
from
sophisticated
you.
E from the Bronx, New York. All right.
Pinkies,
I wasn't always.
All right.
I grew up with we spoke about no frills on the show.
Yep.
I grew up in the no frills. I started packing bags when I was 8 to make money, delivering newspapers when I was 12. Mm. I remember I couldn't get into some buildings. There used to be a little awning on the top of the lobby because the buildings and the projects, they all had these codes. Like, it was supposed to be for safety. Yeah.
Right.
And, you know, if I didn't deliver my papers, I didn't get paid for my route. So I would take my paper bag. I would climb up on the fence. And I'm short. So, you know, if you're tall,
right. This
is not a big deal for you guys.
Yeah.
And I used to hop up with my paper bag, throw that thing up on the little balcony, pull myself up, climb through the window on the second floor if I couldn't get in the building so I could deliver my papers.
Thanks.
I remember one time I had the flu. And I was trying to take off, and the freaking prick was like, you know, you better get it in. Like, the main, his name was Bob. He was
right.
A red, hairy Edomite, Bob. Right. I'll never forget him. Bob. Typical name, too. And, man, I remember I slammed some Theraflu, and I went and I did my paper route in the dead of winter.
Right.
And there was a few buildings I had to climb up and do that stuff and everything like that.
But
I always hustle, man. That's right. I didn't have a lazy right. bone in my body, man. Don't get me wrong. I you know, not as much now. I used to suffer from procrastination a lot, but it wasn't from laziness.
Right.
It's just I would prefer to do other things,
right,
you
right.
know. So, because some people are just lazy. Like, they don't want to move and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I get a little stir crazy after.
Yeah.
Like, when I'm sick. Like, the first day, it's like, oh, great, you know, because life slows down. I get to chill.
Yeah.
But by the end of that first day, man, like, I'm antsy. Like,
to,
yeah, like, I can't do it. I can't do it. And especially, like, you know I'm not, like, bodybuilder big and stuff, but I'm in the gym, like, consistently. Like, it's a lifestyle for me. I don't do it because, like, I enjoy it. Like,
right.
Like, I look forward. Like, I don't feel good if I don't go.
Mm-hmm.
So, which means sometimes, even depending on how sick I am, I push through and I'll go and I'll do, you know, might not be the best workout, but.
Seen you in the air.
Yeah, I try to get it in and stuff like that. So
I get notifications on my Apple Watch, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But anyway, so Melting Pot.
That's right. Melting Pot. See? Forgot we were talking
about. We went to visit Sacramento. It was me, Amaraya. I had Captain Benaya, Officer Shem. And there was a few other brothers. Oh, man. I always forget his name. He's going to be so mad. Brother been around so long. Older brother that does IT in SAC. You know him.
Yediah.
I always forget his name. Yediah. So, you know, we were looking. And Mariah's thing when we would travel is he would look at restaurants and send me the list.
Yes.
Right? And he would send me the list of restaurants. Because I like to, you know, like, I want to say I'm, you know, like there's some people who say, you know, I'm a wine connoisseur. I'm not. I like different wines. I guess I'm a foodie, you know. I like to try. Because you know why I don't want to say I'm a foodie?
Because
you got people like Soldier Ezekiel here in Arizona who thinks he's a foodie. And he's from Arkansas, and that's not a foodie place.
Right.
No, I'm a foodie. I'm from New York.
Yes, you are.
All right? New York City, not Buffalo.
I have.
Or upstate or Utica. All right? So, you know, I always tell people, you don't got to travel the world to eat the world's cuisine. Just go to New York City.
That's facts.
Just go to New York City.
It's like block by block.
Literally, in some places, it's block by block.
Right.
Like a lot of the real Jews, too,
right,
over there in New York City. So, you know, like, I'll pick stuff, whatever, and I was like, all right, let's go to I have never tried fondue, right? I'm like, you know, I'm a foodie. I've never tried fondue. Mm. I mean, I've had dessert fondue. So I don't know if you don't know what fondue is. For some people who don't know what fondue is.
Yeah, I've had dessert fondue.
I think it's French, right? Fondue is French, I believe. I could be wrong.
Sounds like cheese.
And traditionally, when you think of fondue, most of us who have been exposed to it, it's like a chocolate fountain.
Yes.
Okay.
With melted chocolate, and you dip stuff in it, and you eat. It's usually done in a dessert fashion.
Yes.
Right.
But you can do cheese fondue, and in this particular place, it's different broths.
Yes.
So you know, you basically kind of boil the food.
Right.
But what makes it fondue is it's a seasoned broth and it's done at the table, right? Okay, yeah. He has some pictures there looking it up. Put the one with the breads and the cheese where it says Montana Happy. That looks good. It's kind
of
like that because you get little forks like that.
Right.
And they do have a cheese one as an appetizer. That's a cheese fondue. So usually it's either chocolate or cheese.
So the one I had was, it starts with cheese. Then you get a salad.
Yeah.
Then you get your meat.
Well, that's it. So they do like a prefix menu.
Yeah. Okay.
And when I went, it was two options. They had one that had like a little extra entrees and then one without.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so the whole dinner is fondue style. So you got to plan a lot of time because it's done in courses. And
yes.
Here's what I think. You know, there's obviously something about breaking bread. Even the scriptures tell you about it. And I don't mean breaking bread like Corinthians 11. I mean sharing a meal together.
Yeah.
Right? You know, there's something about that. Like, you know, whenever visitors would come in, right, or people would sit down, let's get them a meal, let's get them this, so on and so forth. So there's something about breaking bread that you bond over a meal with somebody, right, in general. So what happens is the fondue experience kind of fosters that, in my opinion.
Okay.
So this is why I say it's great for a date night if you want to go, because it's not just bring meals or whatever, because there's waiting in between. And, you know, some people might be like, damn, you got to pay to cook your food. So you order your entrees, right? And, you know, this particular place has starters, so you could get a selection of breads and veggies with different type of starter fondue, some cheese or whatever else, and you dip that. You can get a salad as well. Then you get the main course. You pick a certain amount of meats, and you get to pick certain fondue. So you pick certain broths to cook the meats in.
Right.
They bring the meats raw, and you go piece by piece. This is the other thing. It's such a
It's like a process.
It's such a refined way to eat
right.
because you're not shoveling food in your mouth.
Mm-hmm.
You have to wait between bites and things like that.
Right.
So this is why I say it stimulates conversation and, you know, you're kind of more aware of what you're eating and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So you're sitting there, you dip into fondue, whatever, right? And then they bring you dessert fondue if you select that option, and they'll bring, like, different types of chocolates or whatever melted.
That was the black and the white chocolate.
And you'll get fruits and maybe some pieces of little breads or cakes that go with it, and you dip it and all of that.
We got seasonal cheesecake. Bro, that thing was from Sam's Club. You know, this little... We're laughing over it. Like, yo, this is just good, but this is not seasonal.
He said you can't be lactose intolerant. Well, you wouldn't get the cheese stuff then. They have other options. But anyway, long story short, the reason I'm saying he fondonted instead of fondue.
Yes, I did.
And it's actually spelled F-O-N-D-U-E, but this is the joke that we came up with.
Yes,
we had went with the brothers, and they didn't have a table large enough for us, so they sat us at two different tables. Captain Zakai was there too. And, you know, they was all, like, the guys, like, from Brooklyn.
Right.
Brooklyn, you know, the streets, Brooklyn. You know what I'm saying? You know, Benign Shem's a little rugged, too, you know? So, you know, they was like, yo, where's... I was captain at the time. Yo, where's Cap taking us, man? What the hell is this? You know what I'm saying? And for the sake of time, I can't tell you all the stuff. There was like a funny joke with a drink. We got the waiter. Long story short, we went there. There's an option on the fondue thing where one of the things is instead of getting like an extra thing of fondue, they'll bring you like a hot plate like that you turn on with a cast iron skillet, and you can grill the meats instead of fondueing it.
Yeah,
but I don't see why you go to a fondue place to then have to grill your damn meat.
Right, right.
So the wild thing was is that we were at one table and we're having a blast. You ask Captain Benaiah, you ask Captain Zakai, you ask Officer Shem, or if you see MRI, you ask them. Bro, they'll tell you to this day that was the most fun. That has to be the most fun, most dope dinner we've ever done. The most dynamic meal I think I've ever had.
That's funny.
Because we had a blast, bro. We were there for like, I think, 3 hours. No lie, bro. We had a freaking blast. But then we're cracking up. We're going in. They was like, you know, they went for it. They were like, wow, this is dope, whatever. You know, we having a great time, you know, fellowshipping after the visit and all that stuff like that. We look at the other table and they quiet. And they looking at us like we crazy. They sad. They crazy. They ordered the grill. Bro, we started cracking jokes under them. They changed their order. They wanted to order the way that we had it because they were like, what are they doing over there? So we were like, they fondonting. They not doing it right.
Right.
And we doing it the right way. Bro, you have to. You got to experience it. So it's a romantic setting if you want to do a date night. The officer went with his wife.
Yeah.
We're actually trying to get us to go do a date night over there.
I haven't called it.
Not cheap. Probably about $45-$50 a head, right? It was more. They charged more.
For couples, it was $140 for the
No, but you did drinks and stuff too, right?
I did drinks.
Yeah,
I did the whole course.
But I remember when we went in California, it was like maybe $55, but it was prefix. You get all the courses for $55 per person. So I'm figuring it's probably within range like that, right? That'd be $110. You said you spent about $140. Yeah.
It's like a steakhouse.
Yeah, moderate steakhouse. Because if you go to like a Morton's or something, it's more than that. Steak's like $100.
Right.
Yeah.
He ain't married yet, so he don't know about.
He'll know about that.
Yeah.
No, stuff's way more expensive now. But anyway, if you can, it's a nice experience.
Yeah, it's cool.
The reason I brought that up is because the officer
fondonted.
He sends a message in the morning. Oh, man, I don't feel good. I don't know if I'm going to do the show. This last week.
I don't know
if I'm going to do the show. My tummy hurts.
It's tummy hurts.
I ate so much cheese fondue.
No.
He needs some milk.
No, it was too much milk that got him that way. Hey, if you watched last week's show, the producer's an enabler. It's not me, y'all. I just use the tools. I just use the tools that's provided to me. If you saw the clip, why don't we show the clip again for the people that didn't watch last week, so I can show them the prop. Can you pull that video up? I'm gonna show them we have a new prop for the show. I might incorporate it into some classes when I talk about brothers needing to man up. All right. Well, you getting the clip ready? You looking for it?
Yes, sir. He's looking for it.
You looking for the clip? All right. Let's talk about it.
Yeah, bro. I've never been to fondue like that before.
It's dope. It's dope.
And
it's nice to go. Like if you wanted to go on a date, I would imagine. I didn't. I just went. But you could go with the brothers, and it's a nice time.
It was really good.
It's a nice time.
I enjoyed every bite. I enjoyed the company with my wife. It was really good. Yo, I didn't know. We were like, can I get my stuff well done? She's like,
you cook it.
I didn't know. She's like, you actually cook it.
Yeah, you put it in there. And they tell you, did they give you recommended times, how long to put it in there for what you want? Yeah.
Well, they actually have a QR code. You scan it, takes you to a website.
Oh, okay. So they're a little more
high tech.
That's probably because we went pre-COVID, so that's like a COVID, that post-COVID thing with the QR code.
And it has a timer, so it tells you, okay, chicken, timer, boom.
Right. Yo, and you know, Benaiah is like, he don't ever seem like he real excitable.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll talk to him about it. And, like, he'll just give you, like, this smile and be like, yeah, that was a fun time, man. That dude was so dope. And that means he was very excited.
Right.
That means he had a great time, if you know Cap Benaiah.
You find it?
That was funny.
He trying to find it in the chat.
Which one was it? What did it say?
Yeah, stuff like that's pretty cool. I like it better than Korean barbecue.
Mm-hmm.
because I feel like the grill gets sticky sometimes. You ever done Korean barbecue?
Never.
They got a little grill in the middle. So similar type of thing. You cook the food while you're there.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of broth, you use the grill. Excellent. It's very good. It's very tasty.
But you go in there and you have to cook it. Like, that's...
Yeah, but, I mean, they give you premium meats. It's
right.
Like premium stuff and, like, you kind of cook it. I mean, there's something about it, though. It's that slow down. I mean, I look at it like if you're out in the wilderness
right.
and you killed
yeah.
something and you got to sit over the fire and wait while it cooks.
Okay.
It's kind of that type of vibe,
right.
you know, but you're indoors in a restaurant and stuff like that,
yeah.
you know?
More yeah.
the experience.
Yeah.
It was very good to have, like, conversation with
Oh, that's right. Y'all had the Royalty Duo concert. Oh, I imagine it's good. Everybody loves them. That's some righteous love songs right there. All right, go ahead. So I want to talk to you about the props before we jump into the show, right? But if you didn't watch last week, I'm going to show you what the props are, all right? Still got the fondue on the screen. What's going on here? Oh, I'm behind.
Yeah, you're not live. You're not live.
I'm not live. Go live, bro. Go live. Go live.
Let's go. Stop
it's
it.
Too low, bro. Can't come on.
Can't hear nothing.
Turn it up.
I love you, Max. I love you too much. You know, you have no... You have no marbles. Marbles? Marbles. You have no marbles.
That's my new thing for brothers. You got no marbles. What the hell's wrong with you? Is this the same clip where they show them on the field? You got to show them on the field when everybody gets into it.
Yeah.
Oh, come on. All right. So you're setting it up. You got the other one ready?
Yeah.
So he tells him he's no marbles. Wait. So he realizes it's no cojones, right? Meaning he ain't got no balls.
He said, Marv, huevos.
He said, huevos? Yeah, he said, huevos? Right? So here's the prop. This is your soldier, producer in the booth.
Othniel.
That went and got me this, so.
Enabler.
Go ahead.
Bully.
From the stretch, he's ready. Fires. So, two straight heaters and
sounds low.
Down to his last strike.
Turn on channel 9.
Bunch you guys. Serrano, back in the box. Last piece, man. That was beautiful. Busick has his sign and comes set. Here's the pitch to Serrano. He swings and drives one of the apex hitter. Way back.
Anyway, so we use that in reference of brothers who need to gird up their loins.
Right.
Right? We were talking about brothers need to man up. It's wartime. They're not fit for the battle.
Mm-hmm.
So, Soldier Othniel.
No, Soldier David.
Wow. Soldier David.
Soldier David is the real enabler.
My man was so enamored with that we got... our marbles. So whenever we talk about these brothers that got a man up, we're going to shake the marbles, all right? Just so you can get some extra sensation from the marbles.
Don't be vexed, brothers.
Don't be vexed. Don't be vexed, all right? Don't be vexed. You see what it did for Serrano. He hit a whole run.
Right.
Hey, don't be vexed with the marbles. Oh, man. Brother brought it up to me on, was it Sabbath?
Yeah.
I said, oh, my goodness. I said, you're going to get me in trouble. People are going to hate me, bro, with the marbles. That's it.
Hey, it's like that clash you did with the scepter, you know.
I don't know where my scepter is. I was looking for it.
Yeah.
I was looking
side.
For it. I left it under my table. That's right. Remember, damn, you remember that. I think I did that in 19th.
Yep.
With the scepter. That's
it's
right.
It's on the side
uh-huh.
over there by the instruments
yeah.
that never get played off certain miles. So
yeah.
A shout out to you.
Marbles.
Hey, he's been using them, yo. Sabbath started getting on us. Hey, bro. That's all he was
that's
doing.
It, that's it. That's
last
getting
night,
on the marbles.
Hey, last night he was, hey, bro, you good? You good? You're in your emotions? All right, bro.
That's it.
That's it.
Hey, it was working too. Brothers was manning up when the marbles came out.
Right.
It was, they gave the face, but when the marbles came out. Anyway, let's jump in. Let's jump in. All praises. We're coming off of keeping the new moon. It was great last night.
Mm-hmm.
I realized nobody was drinking or nothing. Like,
nah,
we was just
focused.
Yeah, we just came in. Yeah, man. Okay. It reminded me of back in New York, man. That's how we would roll back in the day. Yeah. We'll go up to the table. So it was me on the other side. I'm up there. You know, brothers had questions. We're bringing out precepts and stuff like
that. We stayed up there the whole night.
I think it only stopped because the performances came out. I think we probably would have been there a little longer, too.
Yeah,
we was going in. It was dope. All praises for the godly discourse. That was great. All praises to the Most High. You know, it's not always dancing and singing and stuff, you know?
No.
I know Bishop was getting in on the brother. That's, you take too long. We want to dance and sing. See, that's why I tell you about these party schools.
Right.
Then you got brothers and sisters be like, why can't our school be more like that?
Mm.
Mm-hmm. You want to be Greenleaf?
Mm.
Hell no.
Anyway, so before you do that one, wait, no, let's do this one first. No, because this is a little more serious. So do the other one first. So tonight's topic, this might be the last because I got to move on, I think, to the manning up. We're going to go back to the hard times. Create strong men, and weak men create
hard times. Mm-hmm.
So before we move back to that, I wanna go over a little more things with this marriage topic. No, not that one. We'll do that one after the one with the dude and the marriage. Yeah, right. So I was looking at some stuff, and I said, all right, the part that we kind of went through fast was the masculine feminine,
mm-hmm.
right? Because we had done that fast towards the end of a show. And then the characteristics of difficult people, we wanted to spend a little more time on that, right? So we want to give you a little more detailed things, right? Or hacks or pointers that you can look at when you're looking at flags and people, right? Mm-hmm. But let me tell you, a lot of it's going to circle back to you as an individual. Mm-hmm. We're going to teach you how to identify things in certain people, certain things, not all things, all right? But you need to build yourself to be able to hone and increase the volume on that spiritual voice that's going to allow you to not convince yourself to be in some bad situations in the proving process and moving forward into a marriage that's going to wind up being filled with all types of issues, that if you'd have just turned up the volume, honed that skills a little bit on yourself, you'd have been able to identify some things that you could have walked away from prior to taking those. Because once you're in that marriage, you got to make that work.
Right.
And it's not to say that it can't, but it's not going to be what it could have been had you done the right steps properly. Let's make that clear. So, you know, I want to say we're tired of it. It's always going to be something that we have to deal with. It's by design. We're talking last week how, you know, Satan's attached marriage first, and that's what he's always going to do, especially when it comes to Israel.
Right.
And a lot of that can be mitigated if you've built yourself up to where you need to be.
Mm.
And a lot of times we talk about, oh, you got to love yourself. And people think loves themselves is I look good in the mirror.
Mm.
No, I love myself. I look like this. I look like that. This is why I dress this way. This is why I do my makeup and I get my hair did and my nails did and all this other stuff. That's just one aspect of loving yourself. What about everything else?
Right.
You should love yourself so much that you don't even take it personal if somebody decides to walk away from you.
Mm.
Right? And I don't know if I have that one. I'll look for it and I'll send it to you. It's this British guy that he says something. I like the words that he used in it. But basically, have the confidence within yourself that, and I'm not talking about that you are difficult, because there's extremes. Like I said, there's always outliers.
Mm.
You could be a difficult dragon. You could be a simp, pain in the behind, and have this delusion of grandeur and say, oh, well, they walked away from me because they couldn't handle me. No, we ain't talking about that.
Right.
But we're talking about knowing your worth, having enough confidence in yourself that you're not broken down thinking, oh, they did this to me.
Right. You don't take it personal.
You don't take it. I know it's hard to say. It is a personal thing that's happened to you.
Mm-hmm.
But if they decide to walk away from you and you're confident in your worth and you love yourself enough, then you know it was really them, not you. It's not a flaw in you.
It's a scarcity mindset, right?
Yeah.
Going into the scarcity.
Little bit. Mm-hmm. So anyway, we're going to start with a little funny, though. So we always talk about Because let me tell you, I see brothers. Remember I was saying on the little chat when they asked for a wife, and I said this in the class. They say, I want a submissive wife.
Mm-hmm.
That's a prerequisite, right? That's in the scriptures. That's what the scriptures say, right? And you'll pray for a submissive wife. But if you're not specific in what you mean by submission, this is what you're going to get. Come on.
When I asked the Lord for a wife, I asked him to give me one that would submit to her husband. He gave me one. She submits Kohl's receipts, Target's receipts, Amazon receipts. She submits complaints also. So guys, when you pray to the Lord, be sure to be specific in your prayer.
There's another one too.
She submits complaints as well.
He said, I pray to God for a submissive wife. She submits Kohl's receipts, all types of receipts, complaints too. He said, be specific when you pray to the Lord when you want a submissive wife.
Right.
My goodness. What's the other one? What's the other funny one? Oh, goodness. All right, this is just a little humor here. This is a little humor.
New York.
I'm gonna get on New York for a little bit. All right, go ahead, just play it.
Hey, wait, what's going on?
So the title is when she tries to seduce you, but she's from New York. Oh my goodness! Come on, get the volume right.
You said Ruby.
Get the volume right.
Oh, what happened?
Oh, come on, man. Go back. Go back to the chat and bring it back up. Maybe it's not working right from there.
Well, strike one.
Like just reopen it. Oh my gosh, here we go. Well, they did the marbles, so we got to give them that. The marbles work
hey,
well.
Hey, brothers and sisters, don't forget, call in 516-531-9797. 516-531-9797. It's been a while since anybody called.
Just get the link from the chat again. Maybe it expired in the thing. Why are you trying to do
also,
something backwards?
Also, don't forget the Booster Club.
You
is...
need marbles.
I'm trying to buy some time for the IT here.
Yeah, go ahead. Try to buy them some time.
IUIC fundraising at IsraelUnite.org. Brothers and sisters, remember that your donations are a big help for the nation of Israel, the leadership that travels. All right, y'all see what they did in Haiti. All praise to the Most High. We all ready? Right. We good?
Let's see if it plays. Let's see if it plays.
Make sure we got audio.
Brothers always getting on New York. They said these sisters is rough, hard body. They all rocking Tim's. Yo, somebody in the comments said those ain't Tim's. Only Tim's are the Wheats. Well, y'all have no idea.
Damn.
The Timology that is involved.
There's a science behind it.
Yeah, bro.
That's a whole study.
Bro, there is literally a whole study.
Yo, why all the Moabites that are coming from Taiwan to work at the chip factory that I'm on, they all wear Tim's to work, bro.
Now, those aren't Tim's. Those are the ones they got in the fact. Those are the bootleg Tim's.
Bro, they all wear Levi's.
T-I-M-S.
They all wear Levi's.
They rock Tim's.
At the job site.
Someone said I wasn't ready. They thought there was going to be some seductive thing.
Right.
They're like, oh, snap, what's going on? What's Deke showing? She said, boom. She had the grace. She had the grace for Tim's, bro. He was like, no. What are you doing?
Damn.
Oh, snap. Damn, man. I'll give it to y'all, man, because that's the truth. That's like, I know it's become like an outrageous joke. But Tim's in New York, man, that's a culture, man. That's a thing. That's a thing, boy. Man, I would go on the hunt for Tim's, bro. I've said it before. I haven't seen them. I still got my chocolate brown. Bro, I remember, man, I was looking for them everywhere, bro.
Damn.
everywhere. I found them in a Timberland store in Cali. This is when I was in New York. Got them shipped to me. Chocolate brown Tims that looked like the Wheats, but, you know, with the chocolate brown, because them things was official. Mm. I had the brown pea coat that I got down in the village, not the gay village, the straight village. You have to get, well, the whole thing is gay now, I'm sure, but, you know, you have to coordinate. You have to color coordinate that. You got the brown belt.
Coordinate.
Had the brown.
Right.
Had the brown wool pea coat, you know. Winter was my jam in New York, man, because you just layer it up. Yeah, like, I don't know. I feel like it's harder for a man to dress nice in the summer.
Yeah. You don't need not as many layers.
I mean, you just want, it's so hot, you just want to be comfortable, so it's just kind of like, you know, a t-shirt, you know, maybe a polo. Right. I'm really trying to wear no button downs and long pants in the summer like that. So man, winter, that's when the fashion would come out. Yeah, I was styling in the winter.
Looking at the chocolate Tims right now.
You looking at the chocolate Tims?
Trying to.
Yeah.
Hey, Deke, the brother said Tims is the new lingerie.
Tims is the new lingerie. See, but you got to spell it with the B, T-I-M-B-S.
Mm-hmm.
That's official Tims, T-I-M-B-S. All right, let's get serious here. Let's get serious. We want to talk about being able to identify the representative. So we're going to go into this. Get me the scriptures about prove a friend.
Yes,
all
sir.
Right? Let's get that.
The book of Sirach, chapter 6 and verse 7. If thou wouldest get a friend, prove him first, and be not hasty to credit him.
Right, it says prove him first.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I've established this over a few weeks with the proving class and everything. When you're proving, it's not to try to play boyfriend and girlfriend. It's not to try to play husband and wife,
mm-hmm.
which is what a lot of people do. It's the time to prove each other and find that thing out, right? And we've gone over how proving is not dating. In the world, we dated, right?
Right.
And then, you know, you're kind of blinded by other things. You obviously didn't have the scriptures, so your foundation's not set up correctly. So you're looking at things from a perspective of you wanting to fulfill some needs.
Right.
And one of those chief needs is usually something physical, right? They keep mm-hmm. you warm. You get some bumping and grinding for a little while, right? Mm-hmm. And that obscures what you're really trying to look for in an individual, right?
Right.
Especially if you're enjoying that physicality, mm-hmm. right? Then it makes you kind of, you know, you don't necessarily pay attention to some things that you may or may not have seen.
Lose focus.
You lose focus, mm-hmm. right? So what's wonderful about the way the Most High has this thing set up is that he says, you know, you prove a friend. And he goes through some steps here. We'll read some of them, right? And he's telling you the things to look out for, the things that you got to be careful for. But your mindset improving is to look for a friend. And this is why I go back and I say a lot of that has to do with, before you even step into that proving circle, that you have a really clear understanding of what you bring to the table and what you expect out of what you want in a partner to bring to the table. And there's too much facade. There's too much masquerade of these basic things that are in the scriptures, right? Because there's deeper things, is what I'm saying.
Right.
Those basic things that are in the scriptures, we shouldn't even talk if you don't have those things.
Right.
All right? I can't emphasize that enough. You shouldn't even, there should be nothing there for us to have a discussion about trying to pair up together if you don't have that basic stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So what you need to focus on is really trying to learn that person through the ups and downs. Remember, we did the Creflo thing, right? That's
right.
The time to ask all those questions. Do we have the questions? We don't got to show Creflo, but...
I want to meet your mom and them.
Right. That's part of approving. Just get it ready while you look for the questions. It was in the Word doc, all right? If you can't find it on the Power Hour, it might be easier to find it on the announcements chat because I was supposed to do it for the class. Let's go back. Let's read the script again. Come on.
The book of Sirach, chapter 6 and verse 7. If thou wouldest get a friend, prove him first.
Right. So prove him first. Come on.
And be not hasty to credit him.
Right. And a lot of times we kind of glaze over that. But in the aspect of proving, the hasty to credit is what we've put out there. Years not enough. Mm. And hasty to credit him is, in this situation of proving him or her, right, if you're the woman or the man, to perform in your mind that this person is husband material.
Right.
And anybody who's not husband material, you shouldn't be spending your time with. Anybody who's not wife material, you shouldn't be wasting your time with. So to credit him is that you prematurely put this person in your mind as the person that you're going to marry.
Right.
And I know it's hard because, right, the first thing that most people look for is a physical attraction.
Mm-hmm.
But then after you get that physical attraction, you got to shut that down. Where's that one where it says the beauty of a woman cheereth the countenance of a man?
Sirach 20.
Yeah, get that real quick.
Yes, sir.
Let's get that. And we're going to come back to Sirach 6, all right?
Yes, sir. Book of Sirach, chapter 36 and verse 22.
Yeah.
The beauty of a woman cheereth the countenance. And a man loveth nothing better.
Right. And likewise, women as well. You know, we know for a man, right? So meaning that that's going to be, that's what's going to be maybe your initial thing.
Right.
Before anybody says a word, you're going to consider how they look.
Mm-hmm.
Remember last night I was talking with your brother about the micro reactions that you have with somebody.
Yeah. Right.
I was warning some brothers that work in these environments with around a lot of women.
Mm-hmm.
Especially these worldly women and how they dress and how they move. They're not shame-faced. They're shameless,
right,
rather.
Right.
And I said, what happens is that naughtiness, that lust starts to happen on a subtle level.
Mm-hmm.
And the person may not even, they don't have to be like your ideal, super attractive person.
Right.
Things just start to happen on a subconscious level. And what I say, there's micro reactions where there's little things that you're not consciously aware of, but that's happening in your eyes and how they move, in the facial expressions that you make.
Body movement.
Body movement.
The blushing.
Blushing, things like that.
Yeah.
Sometimes it might be a touchy thing and you don't even realize that you're doing that.
Right.
And I don't mean, you know, touching in a provocative way, but, you know, just a little, you know, shoulder
excessive
touch or whatever. Right.
Right.
Physiologically, right? I mean, there is stuff that happens as far as scents and things like that, you know? So, you know, they call it pheromones. And, you know, there's things that happen that create attraction that it's not like you're saying, okay, let me shoot out my pheromones.
Mm-hmm.
It starts to happen between people.
Mm.
And you might not even have a dialogue there where you're doing something intentional to try to be with somebody, but it starts there. And this is why you have to have like kind of a hyper awareness of what's happening there and
right.
realize, okay, let me take a step back, you know? And men are really bad at that because we'll misconstrue signs and stuff like that. I don't know if I posted the one I want to post. Did I post the one about politeness? No? Okay. We'll talk about that in a second. Let me pull that up.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Need
say
that.
Something.
Might need that.
Yeah, say that. Hold on. Because
So women are notorious for doing that. You know, you could be talking to a woman and that little laugh and then that, like that little arm grab that they do.
Yeah.
Notorious for that.
Yeah, for the shoulder touch.
Right.
Yeah, like, you know, I feel an electric charge. I sent you the picture that I want to put up. And women are usually more in tune to this. Men are a little more dense about it. Where they misconstrue kindness and politeness, civility for attraction or flirtation.
Right.
That's it. Let's pull that up real quick.
Politeness has become so rare that some people mistake it for flirtation.
Mm.
She's flirting with me.
Mm.
She
right.
smiled at me.
Right.
She
smiled
like
at me.
Me.
She must like me.
Right.
You know, she's making eye contact. She must like me.
Mm.
Right. And it could just be, depending on the context of where you're at, that somebody's polite, somebody's respectful, especially in our environment,
yes.
right? We teach the women and the sisters to be respectful.
Right, discreet.
Doesn't always mean that there's something there, right?
Well, that's why Bishop was going over about, like, sisters. Bishop Kanai was going over about, sisters, don't look at me for more than such and such seconds.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
because men,
be polite.
Men are going to, like, you know.
Right?
Yeah.
Be polite, yeah. but don't.
And I got to say, it's knowing this information. I understand that means it got to be tough out there for women because that means there's going to be a lot of undue attention.
Mm.
Even the ones that are not dressed like hoes. Hey, you know what? That reminds me. That little clip you pulled about the chicks at gym, Daniel, when I had posted the clip with the people at the gym and then you posted, it's in the feed. You had downloaded a portion of it.
Yeah,
let's
that.
Get that too. Let's get that too because there's two ends to this. And then I'm going to circle back to my point.
I'm going to find it for him real quick.
Yeah. It should be in the feed. I think it was you who downloaded a portion of it.
What did it say? What?
Yes, sir.
You can just show that portion. We don't need to show the whole thing. That little portion brings the point home. Because it was like a 9-minute clip. It was a very good clip.
Right.
But, brothers, I got to tell you, a sister being polite or whatever does not mean that she's into you.
Right.
But this goes back to what I'm talking about, those micro reactions, though.
Mm.
So that type of thing will happen there. And when you're interested in somebody, those things are going on subconsciously. So I understand the challenges of the physicality of being attracted to somebody, but you have to be more disciplined to turn those things off. Get me the other one in Ciroc about the operations.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Remember, I'm I've been using that and meditating that on a lot for whenever we have any type of issues, because we're not animals, right? God made us with this, with these faculties to be able to resist those types of things. Is this Ciroc 17?
Yes, Ciroc 17, verse 5.
Go ahead, get that. Remember, we have to employ these things, okay? The first five that he's going to talk about are the, is going to encompass those micro reactions.
Right, right.
Right? There's something going on there that you don't realize is going on, and that's just your senses.
Mm.
But we have sense. And we should have sense, so we go beyond that, right? Go ahead, read this.
The book of Ciroc, chapter 17 and verse 5.
Yeah.
They received the use of the five operations of the Lord.
Right, and that's the five senses. That's where you experience those micro reactions, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you might be subconsciously attracted to somebody, but even that doesn't mean you necessarily like them beyond that.
Right.
There's just something happening there, right? Come on.
And in the sixth place, he imparted them understanding.
Well, we have understanding, and we should not be subject to those lusts, to those carnal impulses, right? Come on.
And in the seventh, speech, an interpreter of the cogitations thereof.
So rather than assume something, how about you ask instead of trying to be touchy? Instead of trying to go ahead and do a googly eyes and all the smiles and all this other stuff.
Right.
A dialogue should happen. A conversation should happen. So meaning when we have these type of things, God gave us more than just the, so the senses play a role in it, but he gave us more than that. Read on.
Verse 6, counsel and a tongue and eyes, ears and a heart gave he them to understand.
To understand. The main point being to understand. So while I'm taking the long way to tell you that I understand the physicality of those five operations.
Right.
But God gave us a sixth and seventh that doesn't make us subject to those things.
That's heavy.
That makes us rulers of, that's what it says, rule your spirit.
Right.
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 That makes us above those things where Paul says, I keep under my body.
Right.
Right? Let's get that real quick.
Yes,
people
sir.
Might not know where that is, right? Bring that out.
The book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 9, and verse 27. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection.
And how does he do that? By what we read in Ciroc 17, all right, and 5. Because the part that's the body is those five operations. That's
right.
Just the senses, right?
Right?
You don't think to activate those things. You don't have to think to activate those things. You see, right? You smell,
right?
If it's pleasing to you, it's pleasing to you. Mm-hmm. It's just wired into the way he made it. It's our programming,
right,
so to speak.
Right.
But then he also gave us six and seven. He gave us six, which is understanding to keep your body under. And then the seventh, to being able to talk about it. That's why after he says counsel he gave us.
Right.
Because meaning, it doesn't mean formal counsel with leadership all the times. It means don't assume.
Mm-hmm.
Let's have the conversation and the dialogue to really understand what's being said. And sometimes something may be said and it's still not. Like, for example, you can find somebody attractive, but that doesn't mean you like them.
Right.
There is a difference.
Mm.
You can say somebody's good looking.
No, that happens all the time in the world.
I can look at Idris Elba, and I can agree that that's a good-looking brother.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel no type of singling sensations in my five senses for Idris Elba. So you can think somebody has a good look to them and not feel anything about them,
mm-hmm.
right? So we have to realize the nuance in that. So read this, what Paul said again.
The book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 9, verse 27.
And my main point is for you guys going into proving, I'm acknowledging that it starts with a look. We brought out how the beauty of a woman cheereth the countenance of a man, right?
One of first of the five senses is
yes,
the look,
yes.
Right?
Even subtly for women.
Right.
There's a thing, you know, some women will say they don't want, like, you know, certain types of guys. I'm not going to get into the whole fat and whatever, but there's something to be said for broad shoulders that subconsciously tells you about somebody,
right?
A posture,
mm-hmm.
how somebody carries themselves. Subconsciously that triggers something,
mm-hmm.
especially in females.
Right.
right? In females, it triggers like, okay, this is a commanding presence. This is an authoritative type of man, it looks like.
Right.
I mean, he could just look like that physically, and then that's when the word, and then he sounds like Mike Tyson when he talks, right?
Like,
although Mike Tyson's a very tough man. I'm not going to, he put the beats on people, you know what I'm saying? Maybe that's a poor example, but you know, oh, that's like, there's a clip from a movie. I can't remember what it is. We don't got to look for it. It's these, it's Edomites. It's the two women. I seen it on Facebook or something. And they sitting there. They see this guy all muscular, comes out the water. They're like, oh my God, he's walking over. He walks over and he goes, hey,
yeah.
How you girls doing?
Right, right.
And they were all like, so all of that, you know, but that's the sixth and seventh telling them, oh, so he might look this way.
But that's not what it is.
That's not what it is, right? So I'm just saying that to say that there's a lot going on there.
Mm-hmm.
And God gave us the sixth and seventh so that we do it. We're not animals.
Right.
We're not mammals that you just see something, you smell something, you look for the strongest thing, and you go.
Mm.
Right? But some of us act that way. So this is why, because Paul's thing was lust, concupiscence and stuff.
Right.
So what he's telling you here is that there's a way to do it, and the answer and how you do it is in Sirach. Read what Paul said again. Come on.
The book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 9, verse 27.
Yeah.
But I keep under my body.
Meaning he keeps those five operations disciplined under his body, meaning he has to press them down.
Know his weaknesses as well.
Now, being able to identify, it's called self-awareness.
Right.
This is why we harp on, brother, so much about being able to self-examine, in general, the body, being able to self-examine. But you can't even self-examine little things.
Mm-hmm.
Then how are you going to be able to discipline impulses? And it might not even be attraction. Some people are not self-aware how angry they can be and how they act out in anger.
Mm.
Right. It goes back to Proverbs where it talks about a man that can't rule his spirit is like a city without walls.
Right.
Right. Go ahead. Read us from the top again.
But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection.
And he brings it into subjection by what? The sixth and the seventh operations that God gave us. And counsel, you got to dialogue. Sometimes you got to dialogue with yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, not like a nut job where, you know, you have another name for your other personality, that sort of thing.
Cracker.
Right. Cracker, right. We all kind of dialogue with ourselves to some extent.
Right.
But then there's like a limit to that. You know, you got people who like literally.
Well, that's where that counsel comes into play.
Right.
You dialoguing too much.
Right.
You need to get some.
You need to get somebody else to kind of look at it from the outside.
Right.
Right. So that was it on that verse?
That was it.
Okay. So now go back to
Sirach 17.
Sirach 17 again. Let's get that. And then we go back to Sirach 6, and then we'll play the video. Oh, that it was grown-ups. Saskatoon, Canada, eh?
Yeah.
From Canada. All freaking brolic and whatever. But the point that I'm making is that you got to almost be able to block that off, right, and look at the substance of somebody before you move forward to that. So I understand that initially it starts with a look.
Mm-hmm.
But I've seen people that it starts with a look and they read the profile. You know, if you're doing things the right way, we ask a few questions. We told them to ask a few questions
and give
a little background. And they'll be like, yeah, nah, I'm not interested.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because maybe she looked pretty, but she got five kids and you're only willing to be with somebody with three.
Mm.
No offense. Let's not even start the dialogue because I know that that's a non-negotiable for me.
Right.
But what happens is when you feel needy, when you don't feel confident in yourself, when you don't love yourself, when you're lonely, when you want to save money on bills, maybe your biological clock is ticking and you want to have children, you start to trim what you're looking for in somebody. And you start to say, okay, I'm not really into this, but, you know, they do have this and they do have that. And then when you start doing that, what you've done is you've opened yourself up to blinding yourself from other things that might be bigger things that are something that you won't want to deal with.
Right.
I'm sorry. Before you get that scripture, I wanted to show this clip. So I said sometimes men, remember, we said politeness is so rare that people think it's flirting.
Yep.
People think it's flirting. And that's why, sisters, I advise you, keep your conversation brief and short with brothers, because not all brothers got sense in them. Be careful what you share and with who. That doesn't get misconstrued. Like, you might have a conversation, because girls, women talk about that stuff, right? I'll say girls because kind of girly too, to some extent. Oh yeah, this brother's handsome, that brother's handsome, so on and so forth. And they might run and think that means, oh, you want to be with somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, that's like, I could, you know, remember Hot or Not? Like, you know what I'm saying? You remember that on the internet, like Hot or Not?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that don't mean you're going to be with them. There was like a thing where you would just rate Hot or Not.
Kind of like Tinder, where you swipe left, swipe right.
I guess, but you couldn't meet them. It was just pictures, and you rated them Hot or Not. There was no contact info.
Right.
I think Tinder's like you hook up, right?
Yeah, that's the point of it.
Right. Okay. Like, so you hook up. I don't even want to say it's lowering your standards. I think it's that people don't know what their standards really are.
That's facts.
People don't really know what their standards really are. And this is why I say you got to take a strong self-assessment of you. You know, a lot of times we'll ask brothers, hey, you ready? You ready for someone? Yeah, I'm ready.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the sisters will ask the sister, you ready to be submissive? Yeah, I'm ready. Yeah, but submissive to submit receipts, complaints?
Right.
So to submit grief?
Mm.
Do you understand what that really means, to be the mind of your, to have the mind of your Lord?
Right.
For your desires to be unto him? And brothers, do you understand what the responsibility is? That it says, he who gets a wife gets a possession. That reminds me, there was a sister a few weeks back, said, why are you always comparing women to cars? Because Christ spoke in parables. He compared us to trees.
Right.
He compared us to fruit.
That's heavy.
And figs.
That's right.
Where the hell you been at? Now we in modern times. Some of you don't even know what a fig is. So
right.
I'm going to talk about freaking cars.
Right. Hey, D, they ain't complaining about it when R. Kelly said, you remind me of my Jeep.
No, they didn't like that. They were all open to that. They was moist.
Keys to it.
They was moist. And R. Kelly compared them to his Jeep.
Damn.
Popping fresh out the kitchen.
Oh, my goodness. Right? And men, you got to understand that the responsibilities of what that means, right, and how it's the beginning of building a nation.
Right.
And it's not to say that wanting company, wanting affection, and wanting all those things is wrong, but there's responsibilities that come with those things being fulfilled.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when you're looking at marriage biblically. Because the world just teaches you love is love and do what feels good. This is how you have men marrying men and women marrying women.
Right.
Knowing that by design you do something like that, there's disorder.
Mm-hmm.
There's disorder. It's disorderly conduct. All right? So here's another thing, though. Remember, I was saying some brothers, they don't know just a sister being polite. So we tell you, sisters, keep your conversation short, brief. Some brothers want to be playful. I'm not saying be rude to anybody, right? Be peaceable with all people,
mm-hmm.
all right, and especially in the body, all right? But sisters, be mindful. Be mindful, right? And if you are interested in somebody, your best bet is to just kind of go through the process and make it known so that there's not this scandal type of thing going on.
Right.
Right? So, now on the other hand, right, going back to those micro-reactions, not our sisters in here that roll this way, but once upon a time they did, because
mm-hmm.
we won't allow them through the doors if they're modest.
Right.
But you can't say... And I'm telling you, a lot of you sisters, you got to, if you're in the spirit, now that you're in this walk, remember the defense when you would say, well, why do you dress like that? I dress like that for me. That's a lie. Mm. That's a lie.
That's
it's a lie you would tell. You told it so much that you believed it.
Mm.
But if you're in the spirit, don't tell me that you dress nice like that for yourself. Because once you walked away from the mirror, you weren't seeing yourself anymore.
Right.
And you gauged how nice you looked by the number of compliments you got
mm-hmm.
or stares or whatever it was. So you know you had a vanity spirit in wanting to flaunt something. And what you should have been flaunting is not your physical assets, but the assets of who you are as a woman.
Right.
And what you bring to the table in that regard. And a lot of times the reason we walked around that way, and women especially, flaunting themselves, it stems from insecurity about everything else that they have.
Right.
If the greatest thing that you can bring to the table is your physical body and your looks, then you're not so great at all.
Right.
And it's not to say, you know, sisters that don't take care of themselves, don't step your game up. All right. And I'm not saying you got to throw on a bunch of makeup. We spoke about Peanut, right?
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you can take care of yourself. You know, you have some sisters is always all disheveled and all types of stuff,
right.
All right? Hold on. We'll take the call in a second. I want to play the video clip real quick that you put down, all right? Listen to this. This is an excerpt from a 9-minute clip because he's talking about basically women at gyms that dress all salacious
mm-hmm.
and then they upset when they get attention. And I'm not talking about guys being disrespectful. But, like, you know, they just getting some eyes or somebody talking to them. I just came here to work out.
They were looking for it.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Come on. Go ahead.
If you're a woman and you don't want to be noticed by men, if indeed even the brief glance of a man offends you and causes trauma, then you might consider wearing clothing when you go out in public.
Bring it out.
Now, I'm not saying you need to cover yourself in a burlap sack or hit the gym in a parka and snow pants, but I am saying that you probably want to wear more than just your underwear. So both women are working out in skimpy spandex shorts and a sports bra, a uniform that has become, by the way, quite common at gyms all across the country. At some point in the past few years, the nation's women decided by majority vote, I guess, that clothes are optional when working out in public. And yeah, according to the laws in most states, apparently, they're free to treat the gym like a nudist resort if they so choose. But they're not free to control everyone else's minds and eyeballs
right.
while they perform a strip.
Right, right. His point was saying you're going to dress like that and then you're mad that you're attracting the attention.
Right. Why are you looking at me?
Why are you looking at me?
The hell you dress like that?
Because you have the attire of a harlot?
Right.
And that's what's going to happen?
Mm.
Don't mean it's right. I'm not saying it's right if somebody being all oogly-eyed and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, some of the stuff is so subtle. It's not a big deal, you know? So you got to understand there's sides to this thing. But you can't tell me, sisters, you got to own that. If you're in the right spirit and you're in this walk and you haven't been able to realize that that's why you flaunted your body that way,
mm.
you wanted the attention.
Right.
You wanted the attention.
Mm-hmm.
Don't say you did it for yourself. Who do we have on the phone?
We have a brother that is with the Dallas question about, like, the representative and what to look for in those red flags.
Oh, okay. Well, that's we're going to move into some of that in a minute. I mean, we're welcome to have him introduce himself and speak on the call. But
yes, sir.
It's a lot. The rest of the show going to go into that.
Right.
Who we got? Who we got on the line? Welcome to the Power Hour.
Hello.
Hey, shalom, shalom. Most High Christ bless.
Hey, this is Reverend Slewfoot Pigamoose from the Ebenezer Baptist Church of God in Christ calling.
Who is that? Is that Deacon Abiel?
Hey, this
hey,
ain't Deacon Abiel.
David, but I told him who it was.
This is Reverend Slewfoot Pigamoose from the Ebenezer Baptist Church of the world.
Oh, all right, welcome to the show.
Hey,
Slewfoot. I knew it, bro. Because you know what? That Ebenezer Baptist Church. I knew it, bro.
Oh,
D, what's up, D? Most High Christ bless, bro. What's
hey,
going on?
Most High Christ bless. Hey, first and foremost, I want to thank you, man, for giving me that screenshot. That just Alba comment was fantastic. I'm going to use that later.
Hey. Don't you dare, bro. You know I got ammunition against you about the DC universe, all right? So.
Oh, damn. You're right. Let me fall back. Hey,
fall
Alba,
back.
Holster
your weapon, bro. Holster your weapon.
I'm a holster. Nah, man, I did want to speak, but you giving free game right now, Deacon Yahshua. Free game, and I'm telling you, folks is tuned in. But, man, these brothers and sisters be checked out when it comes time to apply these things when it comes to proving. You made a statement about, you know, people kind of basically lowering their standards because they feel like the biological clock is ticking. You know what I'm saying? This might be going on. That might be going on. And they don't realize it's not just that. Like you said, they're overlooking other red flags that they wouldn't normally overlook. But because of that spirit of desperation setting in, now all of a sudden they want to settle. Sudden they just, you know, they're going to go run with whatever, and then it comes back to bite them later on. Now, I'm not saying that sisters don't need to be realistic or brothers don't need to be realistic, because you be having
right.
these people that will set high standards that's above their means. You know, and Kevin, we can pull a whole bunch of Kevin Samuel videos, you know, showing that.
You sure right about that. You sure right about
damn Skippy. You know, but, you know, you do need to stick to what it is, what you know, what you want, you know. And like I said, brothers who wouldn't necessarily pick the big girl, you know what I'm saying, but because you feel like, you know, you ain't getting looks or you ain't found the one yet, now you went with the sister that you know you're not attracted to, and then you just set yourself up for later on to have some issues, you know, fornication problems, you know, things like that.
Right.
Other things spiral out, you know, from that. So I pray brothers and sisters is taking heed, man, because like I said, this is free game right now, and we see it over and over, bro, over and over.
All praise to the Most High. All praise to the Most High. Yep. Yeah, we definitely moving in that spirit, trying to bring this stuff to people's attention. But, you know, goes back to what we read in Sirach 17, that people just operate on them five operations, and they forget about the sixth and seventh. Or they become deaf, dumb, and blind spiritually to what they need to be looking for. So,
yeah.
All praise to the Most High. Man. You on the road or you in the crib?
Yeah, no, I'm on the road, bro. I'm on the road, man. You know, I'm heading to Greenleaf. Greenleaf.
Shout out
Greenleaf.
Greenleaf?
Yeah, man.
Oh, man. What's up? You going to say something
road,
else? I cut you. Go ahead.
What I was going to say was also, and like I said, and I don't know how, I know this ain't fix your face, so I know I'm trying to be professional. You know what I'm saying?
If you didn't see me from the beginning, I'm whipping out marbles and stuff like that. Nah, we.
Face is getting fixed.
You're right. I forgot about the marbles. I forgot y'all got a bag of marbles reminding me. But anyway,
bro, we got some marbles, hey, bro. You fix some faces, Dick. You fix some faces.
Hey, let's be honest, man. Like I said, brothers be burning also, and they be settling. But tell you, once them couple of nuts wear off, and now you can see that for what she looked like. Now she don't. You know what I'm saying? Now it's not, you know, of urgency. Like you now, you wishing you would have waited. Probably be doing that stuff, man. It's not about busting the nut. It's about, hey, make sure this person you pick is going, you're going to be with him or her for the rest of your life, man. Don't let that fire get you burned. I'm telling you, it'll be a bad day.
Yeah, right. Hey, and you know something? If you wind up in that situation, once you get that post-nut clarity or post-nuts, however many it takes, is wicked as hell if you try not to make that thing work now. This is what you did. That's that union, and you got to... This is why I've been cautioning people with as much of this, like you said, this free game, you know, for those that still ain't pulled that trigger, they don't realize how much we see. Not everything gets put out on the classes and stuff like that, or how much we deal with as far as these type of situations.
Right.
And, you know, then at that point, you got to make the best of it, you know? Hey, that reminds me, wasn't there a song, man? Was it Stevie Wonder? You can't be with the one you love, love the one you with.
Love the one you with. That was Stevie.
Love the one you with. That, if you don't follow the advice, you don't take the right steps, you better love the one you with because that's what God commands.
Right.
Yep.
Exactly.
They got a role in that right spirit.
Yeah,
hey,
man,
be safe in Greenleaf, man, and don't bring none of that Oklahoma water over there, okay? They don't need any more of that.
Hey, I'm not of Oklahoma. Remember that. Like I said, that's not, you know what I'm saying? I'm sovereign.
So you just in there, but you're not of Oklahoma.
Oklahoma's around me, but I'm sovereign. You know what I'm saying? I don't associate with the Oklahoma.
Man. Hey, Deke, man, I appreciate the call, man. All right. Hey, Godspeed. Who you heading out with? Who you got with you?
I got Captain AZ. Man, pull over. Bring your snap. Man, we just see a big-ass sign. What street are we on? Y'all didn't see that? That's the Israel United in Christ side. Y'all didn't see that?
No.
Hey, Dickie Joshua, we on the highway. We in Alabama, and we just passed a sign, a billboard. IUI. Man, this is dope. Did y'all not see that? We got to take a picture. I'm sorry, man.
That's
fire, bro.
Presence, bro. Presence.
Truth springing out of the earth.
Oh, man. Oh, praises, bro.
This is crazy. But, hey, I'm hyped. I'm sorry, Diggy Joshua. This is dope.
Nah, you get me.
This is dope.
That's what's up. That's what's up.
Hey, if I get a picture, I'm going to send it to you, Deke. All right? I'm sorry, bro.
Do it. Take a snap. Right, send it to me, man. Hey, Godspeed to y'all traveling, all right? Stay safe out there.
Hey, Deke.
Yes, sir.
Hey, Deacon. Hey, it's Officer Shy. Hey, save Captain Amaziah. Bring him back.
So you know why I'm going down there, bro. The brothers, yeah. brothers in Boston want to go retrieve
bring
my brother. All right, we're gonna reel him back in.
Oh man!
All praises.
Y'all be safe. Appreciate the call, indeed. Godspeed to y'all.
Shalom, man.
Shalom.
Most High Christ bless. Shalom.
All praises, man. Hey, me and Deacon out here, boy. You know he be joking, man.
Hey, shout out to Alabama.
Yeah, he He playfully calls me his arch nemesis though, cause bro, you know, he said he got the little soundbite of me with the Aegis Elba, but I got ammo for days against the Deke. It's kind of like Russia and the U.S. Nuclear deterrent.
Right.
They got all the missiles, but they ain't never gonna use them.
Don't shoot and
don't
we won't shoot.
You don't shoot and I won't shoot, Deke. You won't shoot and I mean privately. Amongst ourselves, it's all fair game. Sometimes we're so mean to each other, bro.
That's funny.
We are so wild with each other sometimes. All praises to the Most High. Hey, he reinforced and made some profound points in that regard. So I pray that you're moving in that right spirit. He said, from the Ebenezer Baptist Church. I knew it was him, bro. I knew. I said, wait a second.
Yeah. Nathaniel said that David fell for it.
Damn, David really believed it?
Yeah.
Oh, snap. Anyway, man, where we at? We had showed that clip on the women.
Yep.
Right? Okay, let's go back.
We didn't do another clip.
Did I have another clip?
You had the clip of the sister that talked
right
about like the sex life in the beginning.
That's that. I wanted to open with that. We are hour in. A little more hour in, and now we're going with it. So
it's
now,
plus,
so she going to go into what me and Deke was just bringing out. Okay, what me and Deke was just talking about.
Black macho.
All right, so first of all, I've learned. I still want to do the social media topic too.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I want to do it as a class or on the show. I know. I have a plethora of topics.
A plethora.
You seen the Three Amigos? You remember that?
Plethora.
You know the Three Amigos?
Yeah.
Señor Guapo. Señor Guapo.
Yes.
Would you say I have a plethora of piñatas?
Nah.
You ever seen Three Amigos?
Nah.
Oh my goodness. It's like cornball comedy of the genre, but it was it. Chevy Chase, Steve Martin, and
it's been a long.
Is it Dan Aykroyd? I don't remember who the third one is. Funny. As a kid, bro, it's just such a hilarious flick. But you have a Señor Guapo.
Mm.
So would you have a plethora of piñatas? Yes, Señor Guapo, you have a plethora.
I got you. It was Steve Martin.
Chevy Chase.
And Martin Short.
And Martin Short. That's who it was. Martin Short. I confuse it.
Yep,
Martin Short. Do you know what a plethora is? No, Señor Guapo. So then why the hell would you tell me I have a plethora of piñatas? We have a plethora of videos to show. So topics. I have a plethora of topics. But one thing that I was reading, and I liked the line, you know how we always talk about the algorithms are strange?
Yes.
You're responsible for your algorithm.
Mm.
Because ever since I started looking for stuff on this topic, now I get notifications without even asking for them on this topic.
Mm.
So this is why I've been able to kind of just get material and stuff like that.
Right.
That reminds me, too. That show Evil I've spoken about, that it's on Paramount Plus now.
Mm.
And, you know, it's like Catholic, that the devil's in hell and all this other stuff. But they had an episode where it spoke about the algorithms and that there's spirits in the algorithms. So, you know, I'm looking at it spiritually.
Really?
Yeah, there was a whole company and it was supposed to be like Twitter and Instagram and the spirits and the algorithms were making people do stuff. So it was kind of a political play, like to talk about how, you know, the internet can influence people who are unstable to do things.
Right.
But then they did it in the form of spirit. So they went to investigate if there was a spirit in the algorithm.
Mm.
And then what's cool about the show is that they'll give you a scientific side and then they leave it very ambiguous. So basically, depending on what you believe,
you can fill it in.
You're going to believe that it was spiritual or it was
scientific.
Yeah. Mm. And team, one of them's a psychologist, one of them's a priest, black priest, and one of them is like the sciencey guy. And it seems to appear like every episode he debunks the stuff, but it's not enough that it's unequivocal.
Mm.
So it leaves questions and stuff like that.
Right.
So, you know, I like it because it's a little campy. It's entertaining. But I can almost always see the spirituality in something that I'm watching, you know? And if it's not the whole thing, there's pieces of it where you see something. But that's just what happens eventually as you move through certain things. But anyway, I got this one. Now, she's going to start talking about premarital sex, okay? Keep saying mics are low, that they're going up and down and stuff like that. So I don't know if you guys are paying attention to that. I hear myself fine.
Yeah.
And obviously we know in the construct of a relationship with Israel, we're not going to do the what they call premarital sex,
mm-hmm.
right? That's even the term that they made for it. Sex was always defined as in the construct of a marriage.
Right.
Right? And you might have been this sister at one point in your life. But for sisters who had never have been with anybody and they're rolling in the right spirit now, or the ones who did and, you know, you're not married now and you're trying to get with somebody, you got to listen to this type of information, okay? Go ahead and play.
Remember my last relationship, my son's father was not all that in bed. Oh, he sucked ass in bed. And I always thought to myself, you know what, with time, this can get better, you feel me? Because I liked him. I loved who he was. And later on, when I found out...
So she's saying, you know, again, I prefaced it with what I said about that carnal aspect of it, but don't let that deter you from the rest of what she says, all right? Like I said, this might have been you at one time, and now you have a chance to do it differently. And if it wasn't you, you have a chance to do it the correct way. And she's basically said, look, you know, I didn't really like what it was like in the bed, but I figured, you know, he had everything else that I liked. So it could get better,
right?
That, you know, we would grow and learn together or what have you. Or maybe, you know, it was good in bed and that made you overlook other things. That's why I say you got the blinders on in that stuff, you know? But go ahead.
It was just a fairy tale that he created for me.
Stop. She said, and then he found out that he was just a fairy tale that he created for her. This is why I said the stranger that I am proving. Because you think you know somebody. And the reality is, it's not that anybody ever changed. People tell you who they are all the time.
Right.
But it's very rarely ever directly told. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah,
let me say it again.
That's heavy.
People are always telling you who they are by their actions, by their interactions with others, by subtle things that you see. I'm less concerned to an extent, especially in like the earlier stages of how you are with me. I mean, clearly, if you're not great with me, right? And I mean, obviously, it's different now. I'm married. But in general, let's say just even proving a friend. And I'm more concerned with how you react with others.
Right.
When I'm trying to learn you. Because I get that the beginning is intensified. It's exciting. It's new. Whether it's a new relationship of opposite sex. Or you're meeting a new friend. It's exciting in the beginning.
Right.
New is exciting.
Right. You got the experience.
There's a lot of mystery to uncover.
Right.
You want to share all types of things about yourself, which is natural. So, oh, this is a person that doesn't know anything about me. Let me tell them all about myself. And I want to learn all about them. But you don't really want to know all about them. Because if you did, you'd want to see how they are in various situations, like the questions that we brought up. We're going to come back to the video, show the questions, right?
Hey, Deacon, can you repeat that one more time? People always tell you who they are, who
people
they really
are. People
are
always telling you who they really are, but it's not always directly. Meaning, can tell you, oh, yeah, I'm this, I'm that. This is my character. This is me. Yeah, I want to do this with my life. And it's not right. You share each other's dreams.
Yeah.
And it sounds so great,
right?
Oh, yeah, you know, I'm going to be the CEO of the bank that I work at one day, and you know, and you're like, ooh, he has ambition. And then you look past all these other red flags that showed that that was just talk, and then you wind up in the relationship and you realize he's too scared, too dumb, too lazy to actually even take those steps. He wanted this goal, but did he have what he needed to get to that goal? All you did was heard a great dream, and you said, wow, this guy's ambitious.
Right. You know what that makes me think of, too? It says, by their fruits you shall know them. And even talk no more so exceeding proudly. But it says, God is a knowledge.
Let's read that. By their fruits you shall know them, because that's heavy. Because a lot of times we just look at that, and Christ was clearly talking about the Pharisees and, you know, how they were rolling and stuff like that. But really, that's sound doctrine. That's sound advice that you can apply in any type of situation.
Right.
Right? Go ahead. Let's read that.
The book of Matthew, chapter 7, verse
16.
You shall know them by their fruits. I'm sorry. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit.
Verse 20.
Thank you. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them.
Right. So he's letting you know that you're going to weigh actions. And this is what I mean when I say people are always telling you who they are.
You want the one that he quoted too?
If you let them. What was the other one he quoted?
Samuel? First Samuel?
No, but what? What's it say?
About, actions are weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fine. You can put that out. Yep, I like that one. That is one I quote often.
First Samuel chapter 2, verse 3. Talk no more exceedingly proudly. Let not arrogancy come out of thy mouth. For the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed.
And we should have that mentality. So what I mean is, if they're going to talk proud, they're going to talk arrogantly about who they are and what they are
right.
and what they represent. And that's necessary information,
mm-hmm.
but it's not the only information that you should base your decision on.
That's heavy.
I hope Soldier Ezekiel is listening when we was talking about Africa that one time.
Oh,
yeah.
Say that again.
When we was talking about Africa, that house that I had posted that's like mad cheap, and brothers was like, yeah, I'll go to Africa. I'll go to
yes.
Africa.
Right.
Can I get some real quick?
Yeah, go ahead. Bring
get
it up.
Sirach 1:29. Because that's heavy. That it talks about talk no more so exceedingly proudly. And you said it's important, right? I mean, we talk about it all the time. Sales is something we're going to be selling ourselves to our spouse. We sell ourselves to jobs and job interviews. You're always selling something, right? But once you've given the pitch, there's still follow through with the actions and performance. But get Sirach 1 and verse 29.
The book of Sirach, chapter 1, verse 29.
Read out.
Be not an hypocrite in the sight of men.
Read.
Take good heed what thou speakest.
And that's what it's going into, because I thought of that when we just went into 1 Samuel. Because you can talk some more exceeding proudly, but then when it comes time for your actions to match your speech, if they don't match up, you can become a hypocrite.
Right.
Mm. Right. Right.
Question.
What were you going to say?
So people always tell you who they really are by subtleties, but not always directly.
Mm-hmm.
What are some of the ways they tell you who they're not? I'm not who they really are. Indirectly.
So when I get to the characteristics of difficult people, and that's just one line of it, that's going to give you some direct things.
Okay.
Okay, so we're going to talk about that in a second. But remember, the sister was saying, let's run it back so we don't lose the point with the sister, all right? Run it back a few seconds on sis. It's like, yeah, that's good.
I loved who he was. And later on when I found out he was just a fairy tale that he created for me.
Stop. So he was a fairy tale that he created for her. That's the representative.
Right.
Which means he was a stranger. And the point I want to emphasize in this is that he was always that person.
Mm.
You just let your own desires, you just let your own view not see those things.
Mm.
Maybe, I mean, she wasn't blinded by sex. She said the sex was whack, so the representative really got her, right? Some of you might have been blinded by physicality. Maybe, like I said, the sex was great.
Right.
So you were so focused on that. So you figured if the sex is good,
right.
how can not the rest of the relationship be bad? That's the worst thing that you could go into, right? Because the reality is if you have everything else that you need in a relationship,
you could work the sex out.
You work the sex out because that's just a matter of communication.
Right.
I mean, the parts work. They do what they do.
Mm-hmm.
You just got to be willing to express without the taboo because mm-hmm. in marriage, the bedroom's undefiled,
right?
Meaning it's not fornication. It's not filthy. So there should be no taboo. You should be able to say, hey, I like this. I want to try this. So let's try that. Let's see how this goes, right? Hey, you know, I liked it when, you know, you were at this angle or, you know, hey, when you give me a little more kissing, I like this, or, you know, whatever
right.
it is.
You work through it.
Yeah, I'm not going to get into all sexual stuff. You have that conversation.
Right.
Right? You have that conversation,
mm-hmm.
whatever it is, right? And you should be able to work through that. But you let those things kind of blind you when really what you should be looking at is things like this. So there's questions that you ask, right? And these were the questions that Kreflo did him jokingly, right? But let's read down the list again. Come on.
What's your name? Is that your real name? Do you have your daddy name? When can I meet him? Is your daddy and mama together? How do you act when you get mad?
Hey, and that's one, you know, some of these questions is a way. When you get to the point where you're meeting the parents, that's going to tell you a lot.
Right.
Remember how the Most High was saying about Miriam, if your father had only spit in your face?
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Meaning you're going to see, like, is she excessively daddy's girl? Was she a little princess? Is she an only child? What type of tendencies she's going to have in her behavior?
Right.
Or how is he with his mom? You know, if it's a guy, okay? You want to see those type of things. You want to see how they act with their friends,
right,
with their siblings, with other people, right? And, hey, maybe they have a super dysfunctional family like mine, because I think I'm a pretty well-rounded guy. I'm confident that I'm a high-value guy. I've always felt that way. I've never felt insecure about myself. I've never been arrogant. I've always been humble enough to know, you know, where I can improve. But I've always felt, because that's the new term now, high value. I've always felt I was high value. I've
right.
always had things to bring to the table. You know, and in a lot of ways, especially the way the world is set up, the scripture says the righteous is more excellent than his neighbor. There's nothing wrong to feel that way.
Mm-hmm.
I'm confident I'm a high value man, right?
Hey,
unequivocally.
And we should feel that way as the chosen.
Right,
like,
right.
We should have
just with that, you should. But even then, a lot of us are chosen, right? Well, called. Let's say that, because
yeah,
many
right,
are called,
right,
but few
right,
are chosen.
Right.
Right, right.
You should feel some framework of that as being called, but we don't know who's chosen. But my point is, you know, it's not from a point of arrogancy. So you know what you bring to the table and what you offer. But I say that to say, you know, my relationship with my worldly fat, now they're worldly, somewhat dysfunctional, right? Like, you know, I'm not super close with a lot of them, but it's because I know what to stay away from. But the thing is, you got to dig a little deeper into that to understand that, right? Because that'll tell you some stuff. So, you know, do you have a daddy? What's your daddy's name? When can I meet him? Come on.
How do you act when you get mad?
Right. And he says that as a question, but you're not going to really know
right.
until you see them.
Mm.
So I want to see you mad.
Right.
I want to see you in situations where you're angry, and maybe not necessarily with me.
With somebody else. That's
with
what
somebody
I was
else.
About. Right. You said watching how they interact with others.
Yes, because you might have a motive. So, you know, Bishop has brought out in the past, and again, you know, people talk about proving. I'm giving just an example. It doesn't have to be. You can see it in the congregation. But, you know, you go out. So how do they treat service staff?
Right.
How do they treat waiters? How do they
right.
treat people around them?
That's heavy.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
What regard do they have?
Mm-hmm.
You know? Maybe you meet a coworker. How do they treat their coworkers? You know, there's different things that you got to see in that regard, right? And even work is a modified behavior.
Yeah,
workspace.
We're talking about that.
Yeah,
it?
It's not the same, right? Go ahead, read on.
Do you throw things? Do you cuss around?
Uh-huh.
Do you beat up on people? Do you have a job? Where do you work? How much money do you make?
Now, you know, those might be questions that you ask a little later.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't think you get into money making at the outset, right? Come on.
How long have you been working there? Do you have a bank account? How is your credit?
I mean, eventually those are questions you're going to want to know. A lot of you going to jump in this proving process. You decided this person is going to be your spouse. You haven't had discussion about how their money
right.
habits are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, have you gone through the scriptures? Do they love money?
Mm.
You know what the scripture is about, the love of money.
Right.
It doesn't say money is the root of all evil. You know, that's a misquote.
Mm-hmm.
It says the love of money is the root of all evil.
Right.
Are they somebody that has, you know, how are they in that?
Yeah.
And it's not always necessarily cheap, right? You know, I go like this because we say...
Codo.
Tacaño.
El codo.
Duro. You know, we go like this. Cheap guy.
Mm.
That's niggardly. That's somebody who's niggardly.
Yeah.
Excessively cheap. Like, you know, like they'll buy the cheapest toilet paper or, you know...
Going to what's there? There's a scripture talks about a man.
You're a brother that's gonna go away for a week on an international trip, and you leave your wife with $20.
Trash.
Come on, man.
And one roll of toilet paper, and you're a family of four.
Trash.
I'm saying that because there's brothers like that. It's happened.
Right.
Right. Especially the work stuff. Don't assume because they get up and go to work every day that's a good work ethic.
Mm.
You know, because we look for those type of things. Oh, they're hardworking.
Mm-hmm.
How do you know they're hardworking? How do you know?
Right.
Right. Okay, read on.
Do you have a job? Where do you work? How much money do you make? How long have you been working there? Do you have a bank account? How is your credit? Can I see your credit score? Do you have a house or do you live in an apartment?
Hey, and not just that. Where's your apartment?
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a roommate? Why do you live here?
Right.
Why do you decide to live here? Maybe they're in a crappy neighborhood.
Why do you have a roommate?
You got to think about that type of stuff. Are they in a crappy neighborhood because they're just on hard times, or they just like that type of environment? It represents who they really are. Are they just bad with their money? Maybe they got a hidden gambling problem. I mean, it could be a bunch of things.
Right.
Hey, Deacon, right? To add to that roommate situation, what is your roommate of the opposite sex? Because you see that in some cases.
Right. Not only that, but the roommate is, can you live alone? Can you handle yourself?
Yeah, have you ever lived alone?
Right. That's right. Heavy. That's
uh-huh.
heavy.
Yeah. Yep. Okay, come on.
How is your credit? Can I see your credit score? Do you have a house or do you live in an apartment? Do you pay for the gas in your car? Do you live with your mama in there? What do you like to eat? Do you plan on being fine all your life?
Hey, and it might not have to be posed that way, but remember I said for me, like, exercise is a lifestyle, you know?
Right.
I'm not walking around necessarily with a six-pack. You know, I got a decent four-pack in the morning until the day's food and bloat gets in. But, are you somebody that has a good foundation that I know you're always going to look like that, or are you just kind of sprucing it up because you're on the market?
Right.
You know, bishops were bringing out in some of the classes weeks back where they were talking about how, you know, you'll get divorced, and they used to show the Kevin Samuel clip, so... You know, I bet you're ready to be single and you're going to lose weight and do everything else. So why don't you do that to keep your husband?
Mm.
You know how it happens when you get single, right? I mean, let's go out. They go out with their friends to try to cope with the grief, and they lose weight. They get extra fine.
Right.
And then, you know, if you're into playing the vicious circle of going back to exes, you know, they see you. They see that you've lost weight. There's all time. Oh, you look so different. Oh, my God, you look great. I mean, all the bullshit.
Right. That's why it says the carrot.
It's so sickening. I think about the stuff that I was in. Because I was that guy sometimes. You know, I break up with somebody. Mm-hmm. She go through her breakup. She looking all fine. Meanwhile, she probably got run through by how many miles of rod?
Tom, Dick, and Harry.
Right. Right. There's like an equation one of the brothers posted. I never posted it on the show because I think it's like the language is pretty crude. But it talks about like the average penis size, how many thrusts, how many guys in a year and all that. And
wow.
It's kind of sobering. And if you think about it, you're looking at it from just how many guys she's been with, but it's like how many miles of rod.
Right.
Wow.
Has been pumping through the vag.
Mm.
Yeah.
Hell no.
Yep.
Yeah.
Right. Well, it even says like, so the average is like, you know, they'll date for a month, they'll sleep together three times, and you know, 100 pumps per nut. Like it goes into all that. Like it's wild. It's
right.
Crazy. Maybe I'll post it for you guys on the group, but you know, it's different. Or the guy, right? Remember, it's not okay for a guy to have been promiscuous, right?
Facts.
You know, like, what are you doing? Like, you know, how many serious relationships you've had and so on and so forth. You know, are you able to be committed? Bunch of different stuff that you can look at in that. But, you know, appearance. You want to know, like, if that's somebody that they basically generally like to be healthy, if that's your thing.
Is it a
lifestyle? Right. Is that a lifestyle for you? That's what I was saying. Like I was talking earlier, for me, working out's a lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
Like I enjoy it. Like I get more benefits from it than just the physical stuff from it, you know? Especially I was saying as I've gotten older, as I've hit like 40 and I'm moving past, you know, going to be on the other side, closer to 50 soon. I'm looking for ways to kind of, you know, feel better.
Right.
And, you know, I don't like to feel bad. I like to have energy. I like to be able to move and go. You need to know, especially if that's the type of person you are. You know, you want something that's going to be able to, you want somebody that's going to be able to match your energy. You know what I'm saying? Go ahead, come on.
Do you like to eat? Do you plan on being fine all your life? Do you plan on getting big? How many children do you want? Will you get upset if we don't have kids?
Hey, that's something that probably needs to be asked. Come on.
You plan on having an inheritance? Do you have insurance? Can you pay for your funeral?
Hey, that's a heavy question. Do you plan on having an inheritance? The scripture says you should leave an inheritance to your family.
Right. A wise man leaves an inheritance to his children.
Yeah. Have you thought about those type of things? You know, come on.
You plan on having an inheritance. Do you have insurance? Can you pay for your funeral if you were to die?
Hey, let me tell you,
today?
That's a big one in Israel, man, because we've been telling people for years to get some sort of coverage so that, you know, your funeral is covered, your family is taken care of as much as you can. I know some people might not be able to get super high policies, whether it's cost prohibitive or you have health issues. But especially if you got health issues, man, you need to grab onto something. Like, you don't want to leave that burden behind as much as possible. You it's going to be hard enough that they lost you.
Mm-hmm.
Why add more issues to that? Why add more trouble to that? Right. Okay, come on.
How do you look with your makeup? Don't put none on tomorrow, and I need to see. The hair you got on your head, is that yours? Did you purchase it? If so, is it paid for?
Right.
Or are you in debt?
So those are questions, right? Let's go back to sis, and then we're going to bring up the characteristics of difficult people, and then I want to do the masculine, feminine. Go ahead, come on.
Myself, you know what? With time, this can get better. You feel me? Because I liked him. I loved who he was. And later on, when I found out he was just a fairy tale that he created for me, because he was pretending to be what he thought I wanted in a man just so he could have me.
Stop. She said he was pretending to be what she thought she wanted in a man just so he could have her.
Mm.
I'm going to hurt some feelings here. Mm. Sisters.
Yeah.
How do I say this?
I don't know. We're anxiously waiting.
No. It's not lewd.
No. I'm not saying it's lewd. It's just...
I'm going to say it in two parts. Carnally, men are wired to do that. They're going to be whatever it is they think you need them to be. They are going to probe and ask the things that you like. And even if it's that's not in them, that's what they're going to do to get you. And it may not be to get in your pants, because you could say, well, I gave it up three dates in, and he still was like this.
Right.
Because he wanted to keep you for a season.
Mm-hmm.
He wanted to keep you for a season.
Mm.
Sometimes you wind up marrying these people, and his intention was just to have some stability. He wanted the wife at home, the cooking, the cleaning, the housekeeping, and his plan was always to still have his side things going on.
He said, beat the Doonies and you never
leave. Beat the Doonies and you never leave. But don't think that brother's in this truth.
Right.
Remember, Paul said he had to keep that under his body.
Right.
Don't think that there's not men in this truth that will still resort to those things, because that's just what's in their nature because of the way the world – that's not how we should be as godly men. But until you get to that cycle and that level that it's kids that were raised up into this and they grow into adults that were raised up into this,
mm-hmm.
whoever you interact with at this stage is going to have those pollutants in them.
Right.
And in the world, men game you. Men game you.
Mm-hmm.
They know you like certain candy or chocolates, they're going to OD and get...
Mm. Sisters think that they got game, but they have no idea.
Yeah, they think they got game because of the feminine wiles and stuff like that.
Right.
I'm telling you, sister, you have no idea, especially if the guy is like a notorious type of, you know, just betting women,
mm-hmm.
right? And you could be somebody who bets women. It don't even mean that you're good in bed. You just got game.
Mm.
You just got game.
Mm-hmm.
He knows you like flowers. He's going to bring you flowers. He knows you don't like flowers. He'll find whatever it is
that you like.
Because remember what I said earlier. You're telling everything because you're excited. It's somebody new. You're talking about everything that you like.
Mm-hmm.
You've actually revealed to him a strategy for the battle tactics. So that's what's going on. It's like a power dynamic. If it's done unrighteously,
right.
How am I going to get in her pants? How am I getting her pants?
Mm.
And now if you're a simp brother, she might just be taking you so that she could get a few meals.
That's how you let that Jezebel spirit sit there and run things.
Yeah.
That's where brothers, like we talk about, like brothers' wives can sit mm-hmm. there and have control over them, mm-hmm. and they don't even think they have control mm-hmm. over them.
And this sister went in that situation. She says it was a fairy tale that he created based on what she wanted.
Mm.
And it's not even what she thought. She's saying she still don't get it, even though she's saying something profound. She's saying what he thought I wanted.
Right.
It's what you wanted, because he even got past the wax sex. You said he wasn't all that in bed.
Right.
But you locked up with him.
Right.
So his game was superior. He don't care that you thought he was whacking bed, because he got what he wanted.
Right.
Hey, Deke, this comment say, this is Wednesday Night Raw.
Nah, but you see, this really for the women, too. Because I'm telling them to not be so damn dense that they don't see what's going on in front of them.
Mm.
I'm hitting them both. I'm hitting both sides of this thing.
Yeah.
I'm hitting both sides of this thing. Go ahead, play it.
For me? Because he was pretending to be what he thought I wanted in a man just so he could have me? It really pissed me off. What disappointed me more than anything is because I was sitting there with a stranger that entire time.
Mm, stop. That's why I said it's the stranger that you're proving. And what she's not saying is that why it pissed her off is because she realized she got gamed.
Right.
She thought he was a good man. She thought, remember, she. What I love about this is that she start, and that's why I say I know it's carnal, because we don't do that in proving in Israel that having sex before you get married.
Right.
But she looked past that, because you got a lot of these sisters out there that they, you know, even in here, that they want to know what the D is like before they jump in bed.
Right.
But then you get a disaster in everything else.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Sex doesn't fix problems.
Mm-mm.
Sex is not the foundation of a marriage. It's what nourishes it and keeps you close. But there's other things that happen that you go, because you're not having sex all the time like that.
Right.
And then as you get older and life happens and kids come and stuff like that, it ain't going down like that.
It's like building your house upon sand or
upon a
rock.
That's exactly what it is. That's
yeah.
it. But the point I want to point out here is the reason she's really disappointed is because she looked past something that was clearly important to her. If not, she wouldn't have started a damn video with that.
Right.
Because she thought he was this great guy.
Mm-hmm.
And it turns out that he was a stranger. So you sit back and you say, what you're really mad at is yourself, that you let yourself be into that situation, that
right.
you gave yourself to somebody in that way. And you should feel like that from the whole proving process.
Hmm.
This is why I say I know the value that I bring.
Right.
Listen, I know it was carnal, but my friends used to joke that, like, I would dodge. They would be like, yo, that woman was throwing herself at you, man.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I was very selective. They would tell me all the time, man, you could really be out there. You know, you got a lot of options. That's the type of talk that happens.
Right.
I remember I had this ugly guy, man, and he was like, you know, he goes, I don't have a lot of options, man, so that's why I'm shacked up with my woman and I ain't letting her go. He said, I know. He goes, I'm an ugly dude. I'm overweight. He said, but she good to me and whatever, so I'm staying where I'm at.
I'm own it.
He said, but you got options. This dude got options.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm telling you, I'm trying to let you know what the psychology is of people. That's obviously not my thing now, and I'm not proud of that.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing what I know now, I wasn't living right. I wasn't walking right. Yet. Was I a generally good guy? I thought I was good, but... You know, I was making whores out of, you know, our sisters.
Right.
But I'm trying to let you know the game that's out there. And don't just think because they're wearing fringes and a border of blue, the game is gone.
Right.
The game is gone. And likewise, brothers, you're going to have these sisters out there. And I'm telling you, man, this goes for both sides of it. Don't be so, remember, it says the beauty of a woman cheer if the countenance of a man. Don't be so caught up in the looks that you're going to be jacked up in that stuff. Go ahead. Come on. Keep playing. Let's finish her up.
More than anything, is because I was sitting there with a stranger that entire time. I thought I knew who he was because we had an instant connection. We didn't learn to love each other. It was natural.
Stop.
On my...
She's talking about sex.
No, well, she said the sex was whack. She's talking about those micro things.
Yeah.
Remember I was talking about the stuff that happened?
Right. The attraction.
Right.
Right.
And what she was really attracted to is that maybe she was affection-starved.
Mm.
And he was very affectionate.
He knew what to feed, what she wanted.
Right. Yes. Maybe she, her thing when she spoke, I don't know, just looking at her, she strikes me as somebody that wants you to listen to her, have maybe some stimulating conversation,
mm-hmm.
you know, would like for her to be the focal point
mm-hmm.
type of thing.
Right.
And maybe he gave that to her. So she felt that it was a connection, but it wasn't a connection. It was latching on like a leech,
right.
like a parasite. To get some blood off of you, or whatever it is that he wanted, to get some nuts off, right? To make you a receptacle, and not just a receptacle that he wanted to nut, he wanted the stability of what you brought to the table.
Right. Because
she sounds well-spoken, maybe she's professional, she had a nice presence about herself, compared to the easy lays that he probably got from some more hood chicks,
right.
She was a breath of fresh air. And so he modified himself to be able to be what she needs. My point is, you need to prove long enough to go through different scenarios to see who this person really is.
Mm.
And what happens is once you give in to this connection, all right, because a real connection, you're going to really know what that feels like.
Right.
Once that need that you needed was fulfilled, the blinders come on.
Mm.
Your sixth and seventh operation goes out the window. What were you going to say?
She says it. Go play the video and then stop. I'm going to tell you where to stop. Go back a little. Go ahead.
I know, a one-minute video. We've been on this for like 20.
Go ahead.
It's good stuff, though. It's good stuff.
It really pissed me off. What disappointed me more than anything is because I was sitting there with a stranger that entire time. I thought I knew who he was because we had an instant connection. We didn't learn to love each other. It was natural. On my end.
Stop. Right there.
On my end.
Yeah, that's the point right there.
So
it was natural.
Like I said, there's something she's still not putting in place,
mm-hmm.
but it was natural on her end.
Yes.
But it was not really reciprocated on his.
Right.
And this is despite, that's what I'm saying, even behavior by itself is not everything. Like, what's directed at me is not nearly as important as how I see you for me to really see how you are.
Hey, Dick, this goes back into how, you know, you brought out the point. It takes more than a year.
Yeah, it takes more than a year. Year's
somebody
not
can be a representative for a whole
we
year.
We put that year out because people were getting married in 2-3 months, and it were disastrous marriages. The year has helped it a little bit. I'll tell you, a lot of people don't like to hear it. I think it should be 3.
Sister said basically 90% of brothers out there, sadly, some will pretend for years.
Yeah, yeah, they will. But so will a lot of sisters, too. Right. Let's not get it twisted. I'm talking about the men here because I got a sister talking, right? But, you know, and I wanna spread it around because I do got to warn sisters that, you know, again, not just because they in here with fringes and a border of blue. I've said this before. We got some good brothers that are just not good husbands. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying they're abusive and stuff. They just don't get it when it comes to that.
Right.
You know? But come on, keep playing.
Instant connection. We didn't learn to love each other. It was natural. On my end. Because on his end, he was faking the funk the whole time. I'm not saying don't trust your gut. I'm saying sometimes your mind is playing tricks on you. Sometimes your mind will show you something about somebody that's not true. Sometimes you want them to be a good person so bad. You turn a blind eye to so many red flags because you're looking for green.
Stop. I remember. So she says your mind will play tricks on you. Get me? Let's go back to Sirach 17, and then I want the other one in Sirach where it says extol yourself in the counsel of your own mind.
Right, right. The book of Sirach, chapter 17, and verse 5. They received the use of the five operations of the Lord, and in the sixth place he imparted them understanding.
Right, so she was going by those five operations, and a lot of us do, right? Come on.
And in the seventh speech.
So he says there's understanding and there's speech. And then the way you avoid your mind playing tricks on you is, like I said, looking, and we're going to go into that next. Yeah, perfect. You got it up. Characteristics of difficult people, right? And this is just one line of it, right? I mean, you can, there's so many, there's not enough time, there's not enough shows for me to keep doing this, right? I'm not going to turn the power hour into the relationship advice.
Right.
I did for a few weeks, but I got to move on to other topics. You know what I'm saying? And just because my spirit was moving me. Now my spirit's moving me in a different direction with
grab your marbles.
We got to get on the men.
Yes, we do.
These next few weeks,
facts.
We getting on the men, all right? Read on the next verse about counsel.
Verse 6, counsel and a tongue and eyes, ears, and a heart gave he them to understand.
Why? Because the eyes and ears, outside of how they're dealing with me, I should be able to see how they're dealing with other people. Mm. I should be able to ask certain type of questions that will elicit an answer to me that's not one that I just want to hear. What you don't realize is that in those beginning stages and all that lovey talk you're having as you're getting to know each other, you've given somebody that's not in their right mind all the information they need to turn themselves into who they need to be to win you over.
So what you're saying, Deacon, if I may ask you, is you got to do the poker face at the beginning, somewhat, right? Be genuine, what have you, but don't put your cards out like that. Don't show your cards out.
Yeah, as much as we would like to say, just be yourself. Yes, be who you are, be your authentic you, mm-hmm. But you got to keep your guards up. You got to keep your guards up, and don't bring those guards down. Until you set milestones of what you need to see in that person. If you see a pattern of behavior that's beyond. So to me, some of the best provings have been sisters or brothers that check the person they're proving when they try to get into too much of that let's play girlfriend and boyfriend.
Right.
Like, I want to know you.
Set boundaries step by
right.
step.
Set those boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know what? We shouldn't be talking about this or that. Let's move the conversation to this or this because
right.
I want to see how this is, right?
There's a song I'll be listening to all the time, but it's called Guard Your Light. And mm-hmm. it's kind of the same thing because we all – and it's really levels of – we got our soul. And when we – like you mentioned earlier, we were talking about at last power hour how we invest ourselves into the men that we're leading.
As leaders, you invest yourselves.
Right.
There's pieces of you in there. Yeah.
So we know that we're supposed to rule over our wives. And
mm-hmm.
as you're preparing for a wife – men, we're already trying to prepare our minds to that,
mm-hmm.
but we're going to be investing portions of our soul, but it's got to be bit by bit until it's like, okay, we make the commitment of marriage and taking it to that next level.
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. you don't give them your soul all at once.
No.
Give not thy soul unto a harlot.
Yep.
You know what I mean? So
yeah. Don't be hasty to credit. Like we right. said, we'll prove a friend when we started at the beginning.
Right.
And hasty to credit is what happens is it's not that you, it's a multiple step thing. The hasty to credit is, you say, oh, this is exactly the person that I've been looking for. And then what that does is that puts down all your sensors, puts down everything else. Blinders come up.
Right.
And now you've given of yourself. That's the credit.
Right.
What you've given of yourself, portions of you that you should not have given or opened up yet.
They haven't earned it.
They haven't earned it.
Mm.
They haven't earned it. I'm not saying be disingenuous.
Right.
Or inauthentic.
Mm-hmm.
You be who you are confidently, but that takes a lot of you working on you.
Right.
You know. Let's get this Sirach 6:2.
I got you. The book of Sirach, chapter 6:2. Extol not thyself in the counsel of thine own heart.
Right. So that's when you start having the conversation where you're like, you know, yeah, I really don't like this and this about them, but they have all this other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying that people aren't going to have things that come. I'm not talking about necessarily trivial stuff or whatever, but I think when you're talking about something that's forever,
mm-hmm,
and there's no out the way the Most High has it set up, I don't think it's too much to say. And like Deke was saying, be realistic with who you are.
Right.
Don't be unrealistic in what you have to offer and think that you're going to get something that's of a higher value than that, right? But also don't settle. That's my point. I think when you start having that internal dialogue where you're like, oh, well, we could work on that later. I could fix that later. Because that's what she did. Of course, it was from the sex aspect where she was like, that could get better later.
Right.
Yeah.
You're not even supposed to know about that when you're proving,
mm-hmm,
right? But whatever it is, don't just put that to the side. I think something that you feel or that you're looking at, you need to
acknowledge.
Mm-hmm. And you're not going to be able to do that unless you're kind of really firm in yourself and what you really want. Don't bank on behaviors. I can guarantee you she was looking for behaviors.
Mm.
And this is what I mean, behaviors towards her.
Right, right.
Versus looking at a person's character. So he was probably romantic to her. He was wowing her, sweeping her off her feet. And those behaviors made her miss all that stuff.
Yeah.
That's why she doesn't go into it too much, David. She says she was so upset that she was with a stranger all the time. It's not that he became something else.
He was like,
you just didn't see it because you were focused on how he was sweeping you off your feet.
The representative.
Right.
The representative.
I was thinking also in Revelation, it says, anoint thine eyes with eyesalve,
mm-hmm,
that thou mayest see.
Yeah.
That's the same thing I'm thinking of.
Yep.
That's heavy.
Read verse 2 from the top again.
Extol not thyself in the counsel of thine own heart.
Come on.
That thy soul be not torn in pieces as a bull, strain alone.
Right. This is why we set people over you when you're in the proving process. You know, in the world, it's a little tough because you got your worldly friends and maybe they just want to see you happy. So they'll tell you, oh, but yeah, you know, you said this, yourself,
yeah,
that, you know, they're like this and like that. And, you know, why don't you just do it? And,
right,
you know, I mean, even guys have that conversation.
Mm-hmm.
I've had that conversation with some of my guy friends. I'm like, yeah, I don't know about this chick. Yeah, but bro, you said she's this and this. I've never seen you this happy, blah, blah, blah. Right. And they're not even asking me the right type of questions to guide me along and things
right
like that. So what happens if you don't? That's what he's saying. I'm not saying your feelings are wrong, but you got to be able to deal with this a little more,
right,
and less with this.
Mm.
You know,
some brothers and sisters, y'all missing the point, bro.
Even though it's the same thing, but, you know, we're talking about
y'all
love,
missing
so
the point about it doesn't matter if she had an idol in the background. It doesn't matter if she had fake hair. And, bro, y'all missing the point. The point is,
goodness,
bro, gosh.
Those are people who can't see
net,
the forest
bro
for the trees, man.
Yo, strain the
guess
net
what? I got to use that because there ain't no sisters talking like that in Israel.
Mm.
You're the same one always with some stuff like that. Oh, she got this. Don't watch TV then.
For real, bro. Y'all straining the net. Y'all
don't
that
watch television then.
Yeah, gosh, it was a bunch of people that was commenting about her hair. Like, that's not the point.
Bro, that's not the point. You're looking at her hair. Are you serious?
Yeah. Y'all need to stay in the spirit. This
These
is
are
about
the same people that if they're not married, they're going to go into looking for a marriage and not going to get any type of advice out of it.
Mm.
Because they all worried about that. Do you sit down and watch the TV shows and the movies you watch and do that? Do you go to your job and tell someone, because some people, I don't watch TV at all.
Mm.
You on the damn internet. You watching something.
Right.
Do you sit down at your job and you do that too? You
just close your eyes.
Right? Come on, man. We live in a world where you're going to see stuff like that. That's so simple. Jeez. All right. Characteristics. So let's look at some identifying characteristics. Because remember, what I said is you want to know someone's character.
Right.
And in order to do that, you need to see sustained behaviors under different stressors.
Mm.
Right? So I some of that's question asking, some of that's seeing how they deal with people around them. A lot of that has to do with, this is why I say it's great that it's somebody that's not new in the body and that's involved in the body, because you're going to be able to see how they are in certain offices and things like that. You're really going to know somebody, right? Mm-hmm. And then there's some automatic red flag. I'm not saying rank is everything, but let's say you're talking to somebody of rank, right? They've been a soldier like 8 years.
Right.
Why?
Where's the growth?
Yep.
And if they start sitting there talking to you that it's because everybody's against them, big red flag.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Big red flag. Anyway, let's look at some of the characteristics of difficult people.
They often complain.
Right. And I'm not saying that you don't have somebody that when you're becoming a friend with somebody that you don't have that type of dialogue. It's this person to lean on and say stuff. But now you need to put it into context. Are they complaining about everything?
Right.
Is it just occasionally? Well, you know, someone who's difficult is they often complain. Why? Because they can't take accountability for their actions. Mm-hmm. Right? Come on.
They put others down.
Right. So somebody who's always putting others down. Again, you're going to see a something in here that goes back to what we were talking about last night with the self-examination piece.
Right.
That this goes into what I was saying, like with the reports that brothers are telling you who they are.
Mm-hmm.
By their answers and their things like that and
right.
stuff like that, right? They put others down. And it might not even be like they're calling somebody fat or ugly. It could just be that, you know, again, kind of pointing the finger, saying things another way. So they put others down, right? Come on.
They are not willing to hear thoughts that conflict with their ideas.
Right. So, you know, I mean, I'm not saying you can't meet somebody that you particularly agree with everything. But chances are there's going to be some things that you don't agree with. I want to have those kind of hard conversations if I'm in a proving process. I want to be able to sit there, and when I see that there's some tension or some pushback on a topic, I want to explore that more, not less, because I don't want us to fight.
Right. How are you going to resolve it?
How are you going to resolve it?
Mm-hmm.
How are you going to resolve all the problems that come up in marriage with children and working and everything else?
Right. When there is no way.
When I can't resolve a simple disagreement with you, right? Mm. So they don't want to do it. They don't want to hear ideas that conflict with their own. Come on.
They stay in control by putting others down.
Right, that kind of goes hand in hand with putting others down, right? So basically, again, it's everybody else's fault.
Yeah.
They're the ones that are wrong. Come on.
They believe their way is the best way.
Yeah, so you can see that as, you know, maybe that comes up with you proposing an alternate thing. Let's say they're talking about how they're planning their weekend, you know, and maybe you see an opportunity to interject in there and say, hey, you know, or, you know, maybe you could try it like this, you know, see how they receive that type of stuff.
Right.
Right. Because then they might flip it on you and say, oh, you're a complainer. Right. Come on.
They are argumentative.
Right. So do you find yourself kind of on the edge of that type of thing? Do you see them that they're like that with others? It's not going to be different when it comes to you.
Right.
Come on.
They are stubborn.
Not a good quality. Not a good quality. Come on.
They act as if they know all there is about a subject.
And I don't mean the extreme end of the obvious know-it-all.
Yeah.
But, you know, it could be something as simple as, oh, yeah, I know.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, I know. Hey, even if I didn't know, let me hear you out.
Right.
Why am I going to, you know?
Shut everything just down.
Yeah, just shut it down. Come on.
They think of all the reasons something will not work.
Oh, gosh, that's the worst type of person. I'm telling you, a lot of people wind up in relationships with people like this.
Close-minded.
And you don't, and because you didn't do what you needed to do in the proving process, now you're seeing it manifest in the union of marriage, right?
Mm-hmm.
It says that they think of all the reasons something will not work. And, hey, let me tell you something. I always plan and look for the layers of things that can go wrong.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But then I shore them up so that I can execute on them.
Mm.
All right? Come on.
What's the word for that? Of people that don't think things won't work all the time?
Pessimistic.
Uh-huh. Negative people.
They may agree to things that they may not support later.
Right. So, you know, that could be small things. That could be big things. That's a big one, and that takes a little time. It could be that they agreed to something with you because they're trying to please you based on information you gave them.
Right.
And then later you see that it's not like that. Difficult person. Come on.
They rush you to make decisions.
Putting pressure on you for those sort of things.
Mm-hmm.
rushing you to make decisions. Come on.
They make you feel sorry for them to get what they want.
Oh, man.
That's been going on with the brothers.
That's a heavy one. That's been going on with the brothers.
Right. That,
that's been going on with the brothers, not even in the context of relationships, but
right.
with us as their guides and leaders.
That's been going on. Let's go.
Right.
Read that again.
Marble.
Read it.
They make you feel sorry for them to get what they want.
Right. That's been going on with the brothers.
Waxing worse and worse.
Right. I just want to contribute, and you won't let me.
I have a grudge,
mm-hmm.
and I ain't coming to the school.
Yeah, and I'm going to leave because of you guys.
Mm.
That sort of stuff.
No one thinks of me.
Yeah, no one thinks of me. But let me tell you how that manifests in a relationship, all right? It says they make you feel sorry for them to get what they want.
Mm-hmm.
You get into an argument, and then they say, you know, it's just that I had such a rough day. My boss wrote me up. I had a bad interaction with a customer.
Mm-hmm.
My sister got me pissed off. I'm dealing with a lot of stuff. I'm struggling here. And I'm not saying that may be the case, but you see a pattern of that.
Right.
You see a pattern of that.
Mm-hmm.
They're trying to make you feel sorry for them. I'm struggling over here.
Right.
Yeah. I suffer from this and I suffer from that. That sort of stuff.
You suffer? Well, don't.
Yeah. We had a brother with the incident that we dealt with here. We had him on the phone. You know, this one died last year and that one died last year and I was just in a bad place.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's why I went and did this, thus, and though. Right? Mm-hmm. Come on.
They let you down.
Yeah, you got flaky people. And that lets you down could be in a lot of different ways.
That's frustrating more than a lot of things.
Yeah. And let me tell you, this takes more than a year to
right.
kind of go through all these things.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, come on.
They may complain to you about someone and then go to that person and complain about you.
Oh, yeah,
right.
That happens a lot.
Right there is
That thing happens a lot. And, you know, they usually say somebody that complains to you about others,
right.
when you're not around, they're probably complaining about you, too.
Right.
Go ahead, come on.
Nothing you do is good enough. They always want more.
Right, so let's say you have a dialogue, right? Let's say you're proving. I'm gonna stick with the proving. And you have a little disagreement, right? And you come to a resolution, right? And you say, okay, right? And they say, yeah, you know, I would like to see this, this, and though in the behavior, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then they do those things, and then you do those things, and it's still not enough.
Right.
Right? That's what that's kind of talking about, right? Nothing you do is good enough. They always want more. Meaning, not in a good way that they want something more
trying
of you,
to build you
that
up.
There's other things that you need to work on, right?
Right.
It'll be like the same issue, and then it still doesn't get resolved. So they'll tell you, yeah, I need you to do this. I need you to do that. And then you do those things, and then it still doesn't change anything.
Right.
They're full of shit.
Mm.
Sorry. Go ahead.
They are quick to anger.
Quick to anger. Yeah, and again, you got to see those type of things in action. Come on.
They are often unpredictable.
That's a double-minded man. It says they're unstable in all their ways.
Right.
In all their ways. That means you'll see a pattern of things in them. Somebody who maybe changes jobs a lot, right? And I know to some extent, you know, you would, but that don't look good. You know, no job stability. I remember I used to do a lot of hiring.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and in retail especially, people move a lot because you get bigger pay bumps when you go to a new company, right?
Right, right.
As in management, right? As a sales rep, it's usually what it is. But in management, you get bigger pay bumps when you jump around. But if you do that too frequently, it shows that you kind of got no stability, no loyalty to anything, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe there's somebody who didn't finish school, right? And, you know, you want to dig into that a little bit. Well, why? What were your challenges? Why didn't you do it? So on and so forth, right? There's things that are – no, we're still going to go past this. Come on.
They act like they have done nothing wrong.
Yeah, it's like no accountability again, right? And, again, it's funny because you've seen this. We're talking about this in the context of proving people, but this should probably be shared on the soldiers group here.
Right.
Because we have a lot of brothers here that are under soldiers, and they display these characteristics.
Right.
Right? Come on.
They may jab at you with put-downs, digs, criticism.
Right. So, you know, it doesn't have to be a direct, aggressive insult,
mm-hmm.
but that's why it says they jab at you, right?
That's indirect. They know what they're doing.
Right. No, and it might be very direct. They might say, like, you know, oh, you know, how come you're like this? Well, it's because you're like this.
Right.
And I'm not saying that's exclusively untrue all the time, but if that's like the constant thing, then that's a problem. That's a difficult person. Mm-hmm. All right. Let's go back to the masculine and feminine, and then we can move to wrap up. I think that's the last thing I said. And again, there's still so much more that I left on the table. I did have more things I wanted to go over, some more scriptures I wanted to pull out. We're going to have to go through both of these. Well, no, go to the other one first. Sisters. Again, I want to tell you in general, and maybe you fits wear it, okay? What women think men want in women and what men actually want in women, all right? So a lot of you'll think that, you know, especially in this truth, I think the financial stability is less true. Because a man in this truth is knows that he's going to take care of you. Mm-hmm. And, you know, maybe that doesn't mean you get to stay at home per se, right? But that's not necessarily something that's attractive to him in what he's looking for, especially at the outset, right? There's things of higher value to him than you having financial stability. What he really wants is a fit body. Mm-hmm. Most men.
That's facts.
I'm telling you, most men. And I know, I get it, right? Let me just say this because people are going to say the outliers. I know that some people might have other conditions
mm-hmm.
that make it maybe a little more challenging for them to lose weight. But be realistic. Most of the people, they put up excuses for lack of discipline.
Mm-hmm.
And this is why, especially if you were not always that way and you kind of got that way, a lot has to happen between – I'm talking about the people that are, like, really obese.
Right, right.
A lot has to happen between where you were – because you weren't that big as a kid.
Right.
And then you wind up
that
way.
It's a lifestyle.
It's a lifestyle.
Right. And it's even, like – I know women have children, right? So right. their bodies go through changes after children. But that don't mean it just stays that way.
Right.
There's ways that you can sit there and continue to work on your body and your health.
Right.
And it's going to help build longevity.
Right, right. So, yes, and I'm talking about fit and realistic expectations, right? We know not everybody's going to be, like, you know, as firm, muscular as the table that's here,
right?
But, you know, generally fit.
Mm-hmm.
Generally fit, all right?
Confidence.
Okay. Uh-huh.
Kindness.
Kindness outweighs confidence, all right? Mm-hmm. I would say confidence is not bad, but they're talking about the confidence that you think, like, you know.
See, the man.
Kindness goes a lot further, right? Come on.
Successful.
No.
Supportive.
You want somebody that's going to be supportive, right? That pillar of rest. Come on.
High-earning career.
No. So, listen, this is the play where I said the financial stability kind of comes into play. It's not that he wants a high-earning career and financial stability. What he really wants is what?
Hardworking.
He wants to know because in Proverbs 31, let's get that real quick, where it talks about her actions.
Her works.
Right, her works. Jump straight to that part because we're going a little over. But
the book of Sirach, chapter 31, verse 31.
Uh-huh.
Give her of the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the game.
Right, meaning that if she needs to, she's able to have her own job and do her own work. Where's it talk about where she rises up early and all of that? Get me that?
Yes, sir.
Uh-huh. Because it don't just mean hard working outside the house. It means that she's going to be hard working inside the home as well. Come on.
The book of Proverbs 31, verse 17.
Uh-huh.
She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms.
Nope.
Verse 15. She riseth also while it is yet night.
Right. Because, hey, let me tell you, there's a lot of sisters, man, they just lazy. They like to lay around. They always laying down.
Right.
And I'm not saying if you're not well or whatever it is, but I don't know. I'm the type of man that I need a woman that, like I said, matches my energy. I'm not the lay around all day guy, you know? I mean, if we're chilling together or whatever, and I get it, but listen, the reality is that that's just kind of moments of things. I need somebody that, like I said, is going to match. I'm on the go. I don't like to be down and out too much.
Right,
yeah, when I
right.
settle down in the evening, maybe I'm enthralled by a series that I'm watching, and I might check it out a little more than I normally would. But in general, I need somebody who's going to match that type of energy, right? You need to know that within yourself and how you feel in that. Hold on 1 second. Let him finish reading this. Come on.
She riseth also while it is yet night
uh-huh.
and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens.
Right, meaning she starts getting the things that she needs to get done in the house, all right? There's, some of these sisters, man, they got no structure, no rhyme or reason to their methods, none of that stuff, all right? I'm just giving excerpts. Go ahead. What were you going to say, soldier?
I was just going to say, in this truth, we don't want a sister that just want to lay up under us all day.
Right.
Like, go do something. Right. Go get an office. Go get a hobby.
Yep. Do something. Exactly. Let's go back to the screen. Come on.
High-earning career. Hard-working.
Uh-huh.
ambitious, agreeable.
No, no, because what ambition,
that,
right?
That equals rebellion. In
that
my
equals
mind.
Rebellion. And it's not to say your ambition should match the ambition of your man. Like, because I don't want to get it twisted. Because, you know, there's some guys who are deadbeats, you know, and they don't have that. And maybe she has ambition for more for the family.
Mm-hmm.
But what this is talking about is ambitious as within yourself.
Independently.
Right.
Talking about that independent stuff. What you really want is somebody that's agreeable.
In Proverbs 31, it says she considereth the field and buy it.
Right. That's what that goes into. That's good ambition.
Right, right.
Right, because that's going to be
provide
able to
provide for the family.
Provide for the family,
with
right?
the fruit of her hand.
Right. So, but what you really want is a woman that's agreeable. Come on.
Challenging. Peaceful.
No, I don't want somebody that's always challenging me, always resisting me.
He can't
right?
handle me.
Right. He can't handle me. No, it's that he's choosing not to deal with your BS.
Right.
Right. We want peace at home. A loving and silent woman is a gift from the Lord, it says.
That's
come on.
Strong. Sweet.
Right. And, you know, you want strength, but what you read in, again, for time's sake, I can't really, I wanted to really hit Proverbs 31 a little bit more, but you want somebody sweet, right? That kind of goes with kindness, whatever. You know, I want the sister that's got that manly spirit in her,
right.
You know,
mm-hmm.
come on.
Independent. Interdependent.
Right. Because again, I don't want that independent woman stuff. I want her to know that, together, right, man and woman cleaving to one flesh, her having her desires unto me as a man, all right, and a woman should understand this when she's proven that this is what a man is looking for. This is why it says a man, it's not that a man doesn't want to be loved, but he values respect and appreciation more than
right.
that. Because you could love me and be not give me the respect and appreciation I need,
mm-hmm.
and that's not going to do it for me. Above that, a man wants respect. But that interdependent is that you know where your role is. Right. So like the soldier would say, not that you up under me all day, but you understand the structure like you read in 1 Corinthians 11.
Right.
All
you
right?
know where your true strength comes from. Just like we
right.
know that we as men, we are nothing without the Lord.
Right.
The same with our women got to know that they cannot do things on their own. They need
right.
their husband.
Right. Right. Exactly. All right. Let me get the masculine feminine and we'll wrap it up. I had shown this. I wound up rushing it again. I was supposed to spend a bunch of time on this. I wound up rushing it again. But like I said, I think I'm moving on from this topic, so we'll see. All right. So, and they spell it wrong. It says masculine. Otherness. When we go back to the book about the hard times, strong men in hard times, men and women are designed to be opposites in what we bring to the table because we're complementary to each other.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not looking for a masculine woman. And nor should a woman be looking for a man that's a feminine man.
Right.
And there's effeminate qualities that men have. Like, you know, we talk about it with brothers here. It doesn't always mean that you're crying. You can get angry whenever somebody tells you something. And that's effeminate because you're so moved so easily. Right?
Mm-hmm.
By simple things. That's effeminate as well. I think effeminate is typically seen as, you know, kind of
flamboyant. Right.
But there's a lot more that goes to that, right? Men should be able to speak to each other as men. You should be able to receive criticism and not have offense to it. And that offense doesn't always manifest as, you know, I want to cry. It can manifest as you being angry.
Mm-hmm.
Have some marbles.
Right. Have some marbles.
You're not you without marbles.
You without marbles. So let's read side by side, the masculine and feminine. So that we can look at this when we're looking at a partner, all right? Again, dealing with things that you're looking for rather than necessarily how they're treating you. Because, yes, that has some importance, but how they're treating you could make you feel so good that you forget everything else and you wind up in a bad spot, right? Okay, come on.
Masculine, strong, controlled, focused.
You need to see how they are in that regard.
Feminine, free-flowing, open, radiant.
Right. There's a way that a woman rolls, right? That goes into a little bit the flamboyancy. You don't want to see that in a man, right? Come on.
Masculine, powerful, centered, purpose-driven.
Hey, and you know, even in general, outside the context of looking what you're looking for in a spouse, I think brothers could focus on this masculine side a lot and see where you can shore up your masculinity. Let's save this for when we go into the man show. Because I think we can double use this
right.
so that you can see the type of the behavior. So powerful, centered, purpose-driven. Come on.
Feminine, wild, destructive, emotion-driven.
See that? Emotion-driven. It didn't say sad, just emotion-driven.
Mm-hmm.
We got a lot of them. That's why going to the yellow makes me sad, the yellow Power Rangers, right? They think they're powerful, centered, and purpose-driven, but they're actually wild, destructive, and emotionally driven, right? Come on.
Masculine loves a challenge, competition. Feminine seeks and gives love, nurturing.
So, see, that's what a man wants. Right. He wants the characteristics of a nurturer in a woman, right? Come on.
Masculine, single-task-oriented. Problem solving.
It doesn't mean that he can't multitask, but this goes into that centered and purpose-driven that a man is. When a man's focused on something, he's going to be very driven in that, right? And a man wants to solve problems. That's why when you're always questioning him, and I'm not saying like if he's detrimental, he's about to make you a homeless and stuff like that. You speak up. That's when counsel and everything else comes into play, all right? But, you know, a man is driven by looking at a situation and being able to solve it. That's a masculine trait.
Right.
I mean, we got some males with us that don't do that. Right? But go ahead, come on.
Feminine, multitasker, diffused awareness.
Why? Because she has to run the household, like we read in Proverbs 31. She needs to be able to move around and do this. You know, the job of a woman is to multitask. She has to care for you, eventually the children, her job if it needs to be, whatever responsibility she got in the body, herself.
I was going to point out, too, by the man fulfilling that masculine, single-task-oriented problem solver, that's a hyper-focus. With her being a multitasker, multiple little tasks, she has a diffused awareness, but in their right roles, that diffused awareness is okay because the masculine traits of the man has the hyper-focus
Right, exactly. Come on, next.
Masculine wants freedom and release. Feminine wants to fill up, gather, talk.
Right. So what that means is he doesn't want you questioning his every move. I don't mean if he's being suspicious and stuff like that.
Right.
Because we got a situation here again with this brother, and I'm learning situations now that, like, you know, he was going to do like some weird stuff at odd times. And he's like, yeah, you, the wife's like, I didn't question him because, you know, we're not supposed to question the men.
Ruby?
Yeah. You know, it's warranted questioning,
right?
Is what I'm talking about. Because then you got some of these sisters that's bugged out, right? But he's saying, you know, wants freedom and release, meaning when he's feeling a certain way, like, you know,
give me some space,
right?
Right.
Let me
think through.
Let me. And the women, right? They want to fill up. They gather. They want to talk and they want to vent.
Right.
Women always want to vent, and that's fine, man. You got to understand that, you know. Just there's a time and a place for it,
right?
Come on.
Masculine makes big things small, forgets. Feminine makes small things big, remembers.
Right, women have the most uncanny memory for like the simplest stuff.
Facts, and man, yeah.
It'll be some trivial thing that they'll remember. So when it says he makes big things small, yeah, sometimes, man, maybe, you know, maybe it's a big deal for you and I didn't treat it with, you know, with the consideration
that you would have liked to see.
That you would have liked to see, you know. But to forgive, that I'm going to forget it and I'm going to move on, like if it's something to me. But women like to make small things big and they remember all those things, right? Come on.
Masculine needs admiration and appreciation.
I mean, and women do too, but more specifically, this goes into that respect and appreciation. That's what really the admiration means. Well, that's the reverence that the Bible speaks of in Ephesians 5. Like I said, I'm rushing through it. I wanted to spend time on this.
Her desire being to her husband. So.
Yes, yes. Come on.
Feminine needs reassurance and attention.
Right. So brothers, you know, we say you got to be able to understand, like if you're going to get a wife, that possession, you got to spend some attention to it, right?
Honor to the weaker vessel.
Honor to the weaker vessel. And she needs reassurance. She wants to know she's doing a good job and all that stuff like that. And I'm not saying that these are all necessarily mutually exclusive, but for the most part, these are where they skew towards, right? Come on.
Masculine wants to be needed and respected.
Uh-huh.
Feminine wants trust, connection, praise.
Right. Like, you know, a man wants to do the things that are manly. Like, you know, don't try to take his responsibilities away from him.
Right.
You got some women that try to roll in that regard, right? And it says a woman wants trust, connection, and praise, right? We get it, all right? Come on.
Masculine, intimacy killer, being criticized, controlled, or shut out.
Right. I'm not going to be able to rock with you. If you're criticizing me, you're trying to control me, or you shut me out. Like, you know, what's wrong? Nothing.
That's the part that the biggest thing. You know there's something wrong,
what's
but you over there,
nothing. Uh-huh. Go ahead. Come on.
Feminine. Intimacy killer. Feeling unseen, unsafe, or misunderstood.
Right. So you want to keep the intimacy flowing, right? make sure that you're aware of her, you're aware of what she does, you know, the contributions, even though they're required, right? She wants to see those things, right? She wants to feel safe. And that don't mean just I can protect her with my muscles, but don't be the brother that's gambling away money,
right,
making poor money decisions. You're always broke. You're always behind on bills, that sort of stuff. That's going to make her feel unsafe, right, or misunderstood. And I get it, right? This goes back to them wanting to be able to connect, talk, vent,
right,
all that stuff like that, you know.
And it goes with Wisdom of Solomon said, wisdom's an understanding spirit. So we're moving in the right spirit anyway.
Yep.
I mean, we'll give off that impression.
Yep, exactly. Anyway, I did it again. I went through it too fast. I had scriptures for a lot of this, and I couldn't do it. But like I said, I don't think I'm coming back to this, at least not anytime soon. We spent a lot of weeks on this.
We got our dose.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we got, I mean, there's still so much stuff that I didn't bring out. I was even talking about stuff that I might have tried to post during the show, but it went how it needed to go. So I'm going to leave it at that.
If they got it, got it.
If you got it, you got it.
Hey,
I
but
pray people apply.
Next week, we got the plus, plus, plus. We got some new stuff that's going to
happen. Those will we got some new stuff. We'll see.
We're talking about it.
Yeah.
Right. I'm excited.
So we'll see. We'll see how it's going to go. Anyway, y'all be safe out there. Stay in the spirit. All right. Check us out on Facebook on Saturdays. Is it Spanish this week? You guys did English last
week,
no? 11 a.m. Arizona time. All right. Lowe's will be on next week. It's daylight savings, right? 7 a.m. Arizona time. So I know it'll be later in the East Coast. I think Sunday's like daylight savings.
Everybody else changes.
We don't change.
Are they going to keep it as the
I think this might be the last time they do it. Oh, I don't know if they dropped it. I don't know. I don't know what happened.
I haven't kept up with it.
Yeah. I'm disappointed that I didn't get to go in it the way I wanted to. But like I said, I feel like I'm done.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like I'm done. I think we good. Anyway, go with the socials that you see on the bottom there, all right? Especially the YouTube. We're so close to our 15K.
Yeah, I haven't checked.
14.8 something. I don't know if we have 14.9 now. 14.9.
Tell your mama and them.
Man. So what, we 100 away?
100 away.
We 100 likes away from 15,000
subscribers.
100 subscribers away from 15,000 subscribers on
Actually,
Phoenix page.
Less than 100.
Less than 100?
Mm-hmm.
68.
Yeah. You taking too long.
Yeah.
We close. Can you go over and like and subscribe to the IUIC Phoenix YouTube page? All right. So all we need is 68 people to subscribe, and we'll hit our 15K. All right. And guess when that happens? We'll be happy, and then we're moving on to 20.
Yes, sir.
All right. Hey, all praise. Oh, someone said, when can we see you on a new moon class? I did one in December, I think. One in December. You know what it is? It's the time difference out here. So I can't really get my IT team here at the time that I would need to broadcast on the East sparingly that I do like the new moon classes just because of the time difference.
We had a plan on that when we were like, yo, I remember you called us. Hey, can y'all be here? Can y'all come
yeah,
up this time?
Yeah, I had pushed it and it was only a 2-hour difference. So I said 6, I think. And
we had to be here. Yeah.
Yeah. It was a little bit of a rush and we made it work out that way. But, you know. That's why I don't really jump on the new moon classes like that. It's just a time difference thing here in Arizona. So
Lord's Will, Sabbath class soon.
Oh, Evil is called. The show on Paramount Plus is Evil. That's if you're into that genre. I think it's cool. I'm not saying it's not riveting. It's like supernatural, whatever. That's the one I was telling you that this the scientist, the spiritual. I don't know. I know it might seem campy or whatever. I think it's thought-provoking for me, some things, because they use, like, real-world situations. So.
Right.
But that's just me. Maybe you see it, and it's just – I mean, I think it's interesting. It has good reviews, popular show. So I think they got 2 or 3 seasons out. It has Luke Cage in it.
Yeah, I saw him. I saw the cast.
Yeah, yeah.
I was looking at the cast.
I forgot his name.
He's the pastor. He's the priest.
He's a priest. Yeah. All right. With that, we say shalom.
Shalom.
This for the Southern Kingdom, Juan Yasharala.
Hey, one nation.
This for the Northern Kingdom, Viva La Raza.
We one nation.
This for the Southern Kingdom, Juan Yasharala.
Hey, one nation.
This for the Northern Kingdom, Viva La Raza.
We one nation, one nation.
It wouldn't be Israel without Mexicans. Black love, brown pride, cause we next to kin. We ain't gotta tell Esau to let's be friends, cause we above all nations and we better than them. We the salt of the earth, ay, ay. And we been king since birth, ay, ay. We put the kingdom first, ay, ay. And they gon' get this work, ay, ay. We was chosen, not cause we the most of the people. Few in numbers, but we over the people. We gods of this earth, we ain't supposed to be equal. Stop playing, you emotional people. The good gotta triumph over the evil. So my foot's on the throat of the eagle. Their tongues will confess that we the people. Cause my nation ain't never been feeble.
For the southern kingdom, from Yasharala. Hey, one nation, one nation.
This was the northern kingdom, Viva La Raza.
We one nation, one nation.
This was the southern kingdom, from Yasharala.